$100 damage to my car, you son of a bitch. I'm gonna take it out of your ass.
Let's get to the point, huh?
Alrighty then.
We're putting that bitch on ice.
We didn't crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys who ate the Istic Pinko meathead.
Any man don't want to get killed. Better clear on out the back.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
I've coughed up scarier stuff than that.
It can only be attributable to human error.
I'm gonna get that son of a bitch.
The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
You know, sometimes it just gets hard to smile through it when I ask you to bend down and grab your ankles.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Just a moment.
Show me the money!
What the hell kind of cop are you?
You know what I am? I'm your worst fucking nightmare, man. I'm a nigga with a badge. That means I got the mission to kick your fucking ass whenever I feel like it.
No. Fuck you, fuckball.
Oh, no more Yankee, my Winky. The donga need food.
Are you off your fucking meds or something?
Are you quite sure?
So you better hit them mumps, my little babies. Or Sergeant Hulker with the big toes going to see how far he can stick it up your ass.
Motherfucker! Oh, you lousy fucking motherfucker.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
What's your fucking point?
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is a TTN special report with Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight, John and Scott will not produce a podcast until the end of May. And that's where I, Phil McCracken Whitcomb, come in. I've pulled some clips from the first 30 episodes for your listening pleasure. In between clips, you'll get to hear an eclectic mix of audio previously played on TTN. Let's get right to it. Our first clip concerns the top 100 greatest Americans.
Before we get into that, let me talk about the 100 most important Americans.
Well, we have on our list, George W. is gay, maybe. We don't know, but we have some evidence
we'll find
to
out.
Think. Tom Cruise, Scientology, and you have a special list, 100 greatest, what is it?
100 greatest Americans, and this is something that the Discovery Channel is doing. And I haven't seen any of the shows, and they're doing the top 25 this week, so it should be finalized after this week. So I don't have any rankings, but I do have the 100 greatest Americans as voted by the American people.
Wow.
And let me just, first of all, one of the things I think is in error is, for instance, there's Albert Einstein, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Albert Einstein, he wasn't born here. Right?
He's not a great American,
right.
I don't think.
He can't be elected for president.
Is he a Jew or a German?
A German Jew.
He German Jew.
Great man, but not an American. I mean, maybe he had American citizenship.
Citizenship.
But let's hold it to the same standards that we elect our president, the W. That you have to be a naturalized, born-here citizen.
Come on. Really?
Because I don't want to disassemble the facts now.
Which means what?
Which means tell the truth. So they have people like Albert Einstein, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Fuck you, asshole. Cesar Chavez.
What?
Who was that? Cesar Chavez.
He was a boxer.
No.
Yeah.
Cesar Chavez?
Yeah, you doofus.
Come on.
He's a great boxer, man.
No way.
Yes. He's a fantastic boxer.
Oh, I'm thinking of Che Rivera.
Did you know what I'm talking about?
Cesar Chavez.
I'll kick your fucking ass.
The only other boxer on here is Muhammad Ali. So they have Muhammad Ali and Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
Who's not even American. Mel Gibson.
He's Americano.
He's from Australia.
Australia.
Down under.
That's a bullshit list. What the fuck is that? What about our founding fathers?
Well, they have our founding fathers.
What, at the bottom?
No, they're not at the bottom. They're in the top 25.
How about Ben Franklin?
Ben Franklin, he's in the top 25. I don't know where he's going to shake out. Tom G, Tom J, he's up there. Don't know where he's going to shake out. We'll find that out after this week. But we got Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and, of course, George Washington. All right? In my opinion, the greatest American ever.
Why is that? Can you
No, I take that back. He's number two.
Number two. Who's number one?
Number one? Hugh Hefner.
Hugh.
That's right. Playboy magazine. Number one in my book. But let me just give you some stats here. Like Thomas Jefferson.
Boobs.
He was the third president, right? He was an author of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Okay. Very important document. He was an educator.
Oops, I'm a little late on that.
He was an architect. He orchestrated the Louisiana Purchase from
who?
The French.
Who did that?
Thomas G.
I thought there was a Ben Frank.
The J-Man. No, it was the J-Man.
You know what Thomas Jefferson said?
What did he say?
He said, information is the currency of democracy.
And he was F&A right.
That's
and that's
right.
What the W is trying to protect. But what he can't
protect.
Do...
Protect? He's trying to rip it out of our freaking
right.
hands.
He's trying to protect his information, not let it disassemble.
Not the truth.
He also,
that
Thomas,
means to tell the truth.
Thomas J., the J-Man, founded the University of Virginia. I mean, okay, so there's one of the guys on the top 25. Here's another guy we just talked about, Benjamin Franklin.
Ben Frankie.
Author, diplomat, scientist, philosopher, inventor, printer.
Renaissance man.
And he had no formal education beyond the grade of 10. Did
yeah,
you know that?
Yeah,
I didn't
just
know
like
that.
Me.
Well, I got to the grade of 12. That was about it.
All right. Grade 12.
Then guess who else is in the top 25?
Who'd be that?
W.
Oh, you got to be
and when
effing
you, when
kidding
you click
me.
On W, they oh. say accomplishments, 43rd president.
Wait a minute. All I can say is this. I can only say this.
W.
One more time. One more time. Thank you.
And they say, quote, his tenure has been defined by his leadership since 9/11.
What the fuck are they talking about?
Then, when they have to come up with something he actually did, here's what they come up with. He banned jeans from the Oval Office.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I'm not fucking kidding
he
you,
He banned Levi jeans. The shit that he wears on the ranch with them big fucking boots.
He banned jeans from the Oval Office.
Oh my God, what a douchebag.
But here's some other a-holes who are on the list that I haven't... And some aren't a-holes. Some aren't. But why are they on the list? I have no idea. Like, for instance, Barack Obama.
Hey, man. Don't you come down on that.
I'm not coming down on Barack. I'm just saying the 100 greatest Americans in the history of America, one of them is Barack Obama. Come
hey,
on.
Hey, man. America is a money-making state.
Yeah. That's like saying Scottie Pippen is one of the 50 greatest NBA players of all time.
He is. He's a good goddamn chair thrower.
Man, if it wasn't for MJ, Scottie Pippen would be maybe,
oh,
maybe
oh,
an all-star
oh,
one
oh,
year.
Why you miss all Scottie Pippen, Mom?
Christopher
hell,
Reeve
hell
is
no.
in the top 100. Christopher
what?
Reeve. For falling off a horse and breaking his neck, I guess. Because that Superman movie sucked.
No, they didn't.
Come on.
The best one was the one with Richard Pryor.
Where he was the computer guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can almost
great.
Believe that. Where'd he get his education?
Education?
It wasn't in the United States, I tell you that.
Which is a money-making state.
All right, then we got Ellen DeGeneres.
What?
Who knows, man? Ellen DeGeneres.
Top She's one hot lesbian.
Greatest American. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Greatest accomplishment, being the first lady. That's great. Who else we got? Laura Bush.
Actually, she's pretty funny, though. She's kind of cool.
Well,
the only problem I have with her is she married that knucklehead.
Well, isn't that a big enough problem?
Yeah,
I mean, we
yeah.
can't even stand him as the free world.
I know.
Is the free world? How can you possibly tolerate him as your husband? I don't know. Come here, Laura. Let me show you what them internets have in store for you. Because I used to coulda.
I'm glad I married a librarian because then she can help me talk.
Madonna.
What was that thing about the GPA you said to me?
GPA.
Bush and Kerry.
Bush
had a better one?
No, they had similar ones their freshman year. And then Kerry came around academically. Bush gratified? Bush graduated in the top 85% of his class at Yale.
Wow.
As a cheerleader. I hope you... I'm sure you're going to talk about that later.
Let me look here. I know I was a cheerleader.
I'm almost through here. Hold on. Madonna is in The Greatest 100 American. Martha Stewart. Why? Martha Stewart.
Hey, a jailbird.
Felon. Jailbird. Oprah Winfrey.
What's wrong with Oprah, man? How can you come down on Oprah, man?
She has a talk show.
Hey, well, how can you come down
because
on her?
Because you have a talk show.
She is the
greatest Americans.
She's a god.
We're talking of all time. 100 greatest Americans.
She could come out and say, she could say fuck on the air, and nobody would bat an eye. But Howard Stern says fuck. No, I agree with you. I'm just being devil's advocate.
All right.
Is that right?
Okay, Pat Tillman, he's on here.
Pat Tillman.
He was the retard who gave up a $3 million contract in the NFL to go to fight for
right.
the country and got shot by his own troops.
Right, and they covered it
and
up.
And then the Army tried to cover it up.
Hey, well, that's kind of noble. The guy thought he was doing good. He was lied to, just like you and me, about WMDs.
Right.
So he went over there. I think he's a great American. I would say that.
One of the 100 greatest?
Well, I don't think that, but I think he's a great American, just like you and me.
Oh, we're exceptional Americans.
That's right. I pay taxes.
You know, we pay taxes, and you know what else? What else did Thomas Jefferson say?
What
did
else?
Did he say about America?
He says lots of things.
He said about criticism and dissent. Was it Thomas J. who said that?
I don't know, but Thomas J. said something to the effect of... only trust your government when they deserve it.
Right.
Allegiance to the country.
Well, I think what makes democracy
allegiance
great.
To the country. Trust your country, but
the
trust your government when they deserve it.
Freedom of speech, and the speech that I use to free myself to criticize our government.
This is intellectual banter.
Dr. Phil McGraw, 100 greatest
what
American.
What the fuck are you talking about? Phil my fucking graw.
Tiger Woods, because he can hit a golf ball. Tom Cruise.
Come on. You're lying.
I'm not lying. It's on the list, man.
Come on.
Notable people left off the list. I only came up with two of them. Because I didn't spend a lot of time. Because we only still spend 5 minutes preparation on this show.
Where's Abe Lincoln?
Abe Lincoln is there.
Where? 99?
No, they list him in alphabetical order.
Oh.
And when they finally rank him, then we'll get the list and we'll get the order. And we can get into this further. But U.S. Grant, not on the list. U.S. Grant?
Really? Ulysses S. Grant.
And the most blatant disregard for the 100 greatest Americans... Mr. Howard Stern.
Holy shit, you gotta be kidding me!
He's not on the list.
Your hero, Howard Stern.
But guess who is on the list?
Who? Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh.
Holy fuck! Come
Rush
on!
Limbaugh.
That dumb, drug-sucking piece of shit.
Who got his career in radio. I don't know if you know this, but his dad owned a radio station.
Oh, yeah, I know that. His
That's
dad bought him out of everything. He didn't go to Vietnam because he's a big fucking pussy.
He got out of that too, and then
he's a big turd smoking OxyContin taking fucking womanizing piece of dog.
Remember
shit.
When they womanizing?
Yeah,
I know he's gotten divorced.
Well, that's good enough for me for womanizing.
But the ESPN, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Listen, folks. I can't do a very good Rush. But I'm going to try. Listen, folks.
No, it's not folks. You're doing bad, cow.
What does Rush say?
Rush. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. It's really quick. Ladies and gentlemen.
I think all of you had here is a little social concern in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen. The media has been very decisive that a black quarterback do well. There is little hope invested in Donovan McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for his performance. Ladies and gentlemen. Of this team he didn't deserve. The defense carried the team.
Yeah, that's why. What did they win the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, so that he got fired.
Hello.
And then in his resignation statement, my comments from past Sunday were directed at the media, not racially motivated.
Yeah, whatever.
I offered an opinion, ladies and gentlemen. And then you got the drug use, the OxyContin, and the divorce. He was divorced how many times? Oh, yeah. Just once, I think.
Just once. Such a...
Martha, after 10 years of marriage.
Hey, I've been married longer than him.
He initiated the divorce.
What a frickin' screw bag.
Tiffany, I'm extremely disappointed in you. This is a joke to you. You've been through anger management. You've been through your grandmother getting her lights turned off to buy you a swimsuit for this competition. And you go over there and you joke and you laugh? This is serious to these girls. And this should be serious to you.
Looks can be deceiving. I'm hurt. I am. But I can't change it, Tyra.
You can't change what?
I'm sick of crying about stuff that I cannot change. I'm sick of being disappointed. I'm sick of all of it. I'm not.
Sick of being disappointed,
yes,
Tiffany.
Obviously, I am.
No, you're not. If you were sick of being disappointed, you would stand up and you would take control of your destiny. Do you know that you had a possibility to win? Do you know that all of America is rooting for you? Do you know that? And then you come in here and you treat this like a joke? You come in here and look at that and say, I can't read that. You read 10 times better than half of those girls over there.
You did.
And you come in here with a defeatist attitude. I don't have a bad attitude. Maybe I am angry inside. I've been through stuff, so I'm angry. Yes, but this is not. Be quiet, but everybody. Be quiet.
That's what is wrong with you.
Stop it! I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this. When my mother yells at this, it's because she loves me. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? Learn something from this. When you go to bed at night, you lay there, and you take responsibility for yourself. Because nobody's going to take responsibility for you. You roll in your eyes and you act like this because you've heard it all before. You don't know where the hell I come from. You have no idea what I've been through. But I'm not a victim. I grow from it and I learn. Take responsibility for yourself.
That was Tyra Banks going completely batshit. Moving on, this next clip, John and Scott examine the possibility that the current commander-in-chief is a closeted homosexual.
Anyways, this one is entitled George W. Lips Bush, First Gay U.S. President? With a question mark. And
we'll decide right here, right now. Because we are the truth.
And we're total dog nonsense. We don't know if this is true or not, but it does bring up some questions about his born-again Christian thing and marrying a librarian. Well, I don't know if that's enough.
Gay people marry librarians?
I'm not sure, man. I'm just talking about the whole closet thing. But anyways, let's see. Let me find out where I start. Is George W. Bush the first gay president? President?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they say that Abraham Lincoln was queer? Some guy came out with a book?
Maybe.
Because he shared a room with somebody?
He might have been.
But back in the old days, he had to share a room. There wasn't a lot of homes.
Right. It was a log cabin, for Christ's sake. It wasn't like a...
He was from Illinois.
Yeah, it wasn't a big English Tudor with four bedrooms and a dumbwaiter.
Right, he wasn't born with a silver spoon up his ass.
Maybe his waiter was
like
dumb.
George W.
Right, it was a log frickin' cabin. You can see it in Springfield. Is George W. Bush the first gay president? Evidence of Bush's non-heterosexual proclivities keep surfacing.
I'm sorry, can I stop you here? Can we hear from George himself?
Like, what do you want to hear?
Anything. Anything from George would be...
How about this one?
I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. That's kind of one of those exaggerations.
Yeah, he's a fan.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Yeah, he's queer.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Oh, was that George or was that Dick Cheney?
No, that was Dick Cheney's
Oval Office. Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
That's who he's really married to, is Dick Cheney. Anyways, evidence of Bush's non-heterosexual proclivities keeps surfacing. Kitty Kelly's Bush Family Exposé, The Family, 2004, had noted George W. Bush's homosexual relationship with Victor Ash, the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, I have not read that book, but I plan on reading it.
Wait a minute. He just said, George Bush just said, they have an old saying in Tennessee, I know they have it in Texas. He mentions Tennessee.
That's right. Yeah,
ironically
enough.
Or coincidentally, or maybe it's true.
Here on Total Talk Nonsense, we're breaking the story, folks, because we're the truth. I wonder if he's, like, copyrighted that. We're the truth!
We'll find out when we hear from the lawyers.
Right. George W. Bush, who was the head cheerleader... Oh, God. I can't imagine. Why the fuck? Okay.
Wait a minute.
Steve Martin was a cheerleader, but at least he turned into a comedy act.
I can see getting into cheerleading. I can totally see that.
For
chicks.
Because of the chicks,
man.
But he went to an all-male university.
What?
Yeah.
Yale is all-male.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was the head cheerleader. Yeah. Head cheerleader at all-male Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts.
Phillips Academy, so that's his like his private high school.
Yeah. Okay. As well as cheerleader at all-male Yale University has been quoted as saying, I want to thank my old college classmate, you used to call him Bulldog, we call him Victor, the mayor of Knoxville, Victor Ash. At the Van Hillary for Governor Luncheon, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, this is George W., actually. I call him Dictor.
Dictor? Did you say Dictor?
So, I didn't know this. Yale is all male?
Well,
they don't let females into Yale?
Yale's all male.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because it rhymes with male?
And both. Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts. All male school. He was cheerleader. Head cheerleader.
Yeah, that's totally gay.
As well as a cheerleader at the all-male Yale.
I was going to stick up for W and say, I can see why a guy would get into cheerleading, because cheerleaders are generally hot, and who's the one who holds the cheerleader up by her coos?
Right.
It's the
by
male.
By her feet, so you can see her coos. You know, you're staring up at it, and she slips down, you slap on her face. Right.
Slips down, boom, and then the ass goes on the fist, and then you're always under the skirt. You know, you're always monkeying around and they're doing something. So I can see that. But now when you mention all male
Yale.
Case closed. I mean, you don't even have to continue.
Right.
Queer.
Queer as folk. Queer all the way. I say so. Yeah. Well, you know, this is Total Talk Nonsense. We're only reporting what is on Conspiracy Planet. But I do have some observations of that. I continue. May I?
Of course.
Oddly enough, the fake reporter, male prostitute Jeff Gannon, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, was also named Bulldog on his gay sex sites like HotMilitaryStud.com, MilitaryEscorts.com, and MilitaryEscortsM4M.com. Pirate News producer John Lee notes that Bush has other gay nicknames for White House familiars. We have Turd Blossom for gay puppeteer Karl Rove.
Turd Blossom.
Turd Blossom. Hey there, Turd Blossom. You just a handsome man, ain't you? I love that baldness you got there in the glasses. I love it. Pootie Poot for Vladimir Putin, Russian. This is what Bush.
Pootie Poot.
Pootie Poot. Pootie Poot for Vladimir Putin, Russian president, and commie KGB chief. Mr. Big O for Lipsy Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, ex-CEO of Alcoa Corporation in Alcoa, Tennessee. Sally Suck'em Silly. Oh, my God, that cracks me up just saying that.
Sally Suck'em Silly.
Sally Suck'em Silly for the late David Lewis. Kitty Kelly, Kitty Kelly writes, and she's very controversial. She was on the Today Show. I saw her.
Who is Kitty Kelly?
She wrote a book. She had just said she wrote a book about him.
Oh, about him being gay.
About the whole Bush family. We got to check that out because I want to highlight some stuff out of there. Anyway, Mr. Big O for Lipsy Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. I did that one already. Sally Suckum Silly for the late David Luce. Kitty Kelly writes that George earned the nickname Lips Bush for his skull. His skull. His skill at giving blow.
His skill at giving blow? What? His skull at giving
blow? Let me set this up again. I digress. Kitty Kelly, this is a tongue twister. It's like I shot the city sheriff in Shoeshine City. All
right? Right.
Give me a break. Kitty Kelly writes that George earned the name Lips Bush for his skill at giving blowjobs to his fraternity buddies. That's pretty heavy, man.
That is heavy.
Lee in George Bush's Gay Gate writes, why is Bush so hostile to the idea of gay marriage? Perhaps because until 1987, George W. Bush was gay. How about that?
Wait a minute. So you're saying that...
I'm not saying. I'm saying what I'm reading, okay?
But
I have not made my observations yet.
Is that he was gay, and then something happened in 87, and he's no longer gay?
Yeah. Yeah. Until 1987, George W. Bush was gay.
Well, okay. The facts. Male cheerleader.
Yeah.
At an all-male school.
Right.
Gay.
Gay.
Fraternity so member gay. At an all-male school.
And a cheerleader.
Gay.
And a cheerleader.
Gay.
Gay, gay, gay.
Yeah.
Now look, once again, we're not coming down on the gays for being gay. Hey, that's all cool.
I have no problem with homos. I've said that before.
Me either. I do have a problem with a guy that who is gay.
Bashing gays.
Bashing gays because he's trying to suppress his own homosexuality.
Right.
Allegedly.
Which I will never do. I will never suppress mine.
I will not suppress mine for you either. According to a group of 29 Yale classmates who comprise gay Ivy Leaguers for Truth, Bush was known to be at least sexually experimental throughout his time in college. One of Bush's alleged former boyfriends, Anthony Baruska, class of 70, told the Dallas Morning News that Bush was deeply conflicted about being gay, even somewhat self-hating.
Well, that would...
That's a revelation right there.
And it would explain why he's a born-again Christian.
Right, right. That was going to be one of my observations. Why the fuck you steal my thunder all the time?
Sorry, man.
Maybe
I'll steal your lightning.
Oh, yeah. Where's my vibrator?
You didn't bring it.
Stop it, you brute. You smell like fish, you big turd blurgler.
Turd blurgler. No, it's turd blossom, you sucky.
You Sally silly suck 'em a lot. You know what I mean? You know? Is that what I say a lot? You know?
You know.
Okay.
Not this time, though.
No.
Last podcast.
No. Last. I was very drunk, and I'm pretty drunk now. I got a lip worth of shit. I might have to go to beer next.
A lip worth of shit. What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea. Let me read this, goddammit. Okay, here we go. Baruska is convinced that his conflict led to Bush's drinking problems, but describes the president as a gentle, caring lover.
God.
In 1986...
What does that mean? Does that mean he lubed up before
I don't know.
He jammed the meeting?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I could think of is... In 1986, the Bush family arranged for George to join Worthy Creations, a church group in El Paso that focuses on converting homosexuals through faith. Wait a minute! That is big news right there.
Big news. Big
I'm gonna have to research that some
Where's
more.
Where's the sound effect?
In whoop whoop whoop.
That is huge.
That's huge news.
Huge news.
Huge. It's too hard to navigate this screen. There we go. We got huge news. That is something else right there.
Say that again, Frank.
In 1986, the Bush family arranged for George to join Worthy Creations, a church group in El Paso that focuses on converting homosexuals through faith. Come on.
Case closed.
Case closed.
Case
Shall
closed.
I read on, though, or do you want me to shut it down there?
Go ahead, read on.
Read on.
The deputy police chief says six officers were killed, including the district's top cop, after the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets.
In this next clip, you'll hear the first Jotted Scott Theater on TTN as they cover Tom Cruise and tell the story of Scientology and Xenu.
Talked a little bit about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. They're
just
engaged
got
now.
Oh, no, they didn't just get married.
They're
they just got engaged.
I love her!
Katie Holmes isn't just embracing Tom Cruise, you know.
No.
She's embracing his religion, too.
That's what I heard. What's up with that?
Yeah, Holmes and Cruise
insane.
Are seemingly inseparable in body and spirit.
Did you say seemingly?
Seemingly.
Oh,
seemingly.
Sorry. I'm just going back to, I don't know.
I would say seemingly, but it's Tom Cruise. Holmes, who grew up a Catholic, says she's really excited to be learning about Scientology, the 20th century religion her boyfriend promotes with a passion. Cruise became a Scientologist in the late 80s and said the teaching techniques developed by Scientology founder, science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard, helped him overcome dyslexia decades later. Cruise continues to talk up the faith, even putting a Scientology tent on the set of his upcoming movie, War of the Worlds. Now Holmes says he's eager to check it out for herself. I say he because she looks like a little boy. She's going to start lessons at the Church of Scientology. I really like it, and I think it's really wonderful.
Wait, I love when you role play in the middle of your own story. Go on.
She recently told Access Hollywood. Did she tell, who's the guy from Access Hollywood who,
Billy Bush.
No, not that's not Access
Billy
Hollywood.
Billy Bush. Yeah, he is. He's,
I thought that was,
Billy Bush is related to George W.
I'm thinking of Entertainment Tonight.
Did you know that? Oh, you're talking about Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien. Get some whores, some coke.
I'm get crazy.
Like, I'm doing my Pat O'Brien like I'm George W. Where we used to could have get some whores and some coke on the internet.
You're insane.
Katie says, I feel like I'm bettering myself.
Battering?
Battering.
Oh, battering.
Battering.
You are battering yourself joining that fucked up cult that believes in Uniden or what?
Let's hear what critics have to say. Critics target the amount of cash the church takes in. Auditing sessions can cost thousands of dollars, and followers also are encouraged to buy Hubbard's books to study.
Buy his books, you fuck, and study them.
According to Ohio State's Urban, it can cost more than $120,000 to become clear. And followers can spend up to $400,000 to achieve the highest levels of spiritual awareness. It's not a practice for the poor. Definitely. All right, I'm going to tell you a little story now.
Tell me a story. Oh, would
before,
you?
But first I tell a story, we're going to have an AKC first right now, right here, right now.
What?
John and Scott Theater.
Wait a minute.
Are you ready?
Wait a minute. You got to be kidding me.
I'll be sure.
Wait a minute. A first.
A first. AKC
first. A
first. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an AKC Total Talk Nonsense first time on Consecrated Theater of the Mind.
John and Scott Theater. Okay, so in case anyone is not yet on board with the Tom Cruise is a creepy ass motherfucker, we're gonna go. We're gonna. This is John Scott Theater doing a German interview for a German magazine that Tom Cruise did.
German.
And I am going to portray the German, and John is going to portray Tom Cruise.
Wait a minute. I'm going to portray Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Dude.
Dude, man.
I am fucking... I'm honored. I cannot believe that you would allow me to be Tom Cruise.
Are you ready?
Hold it. Hold it. Hold
it. So,
hold on a second, 1 minute.
We are going, because we don't have audio, we're going to have to create the audio. And this is an interview. It's okay, John. Come here, I'll hold you. From a German magazine named Spiegel. Spiegel.
Just hold me 1 second now.
Not funny, haha, funny, queer.
Wait a minute, don't hold me that tight.
Oh.
All right, let's get out of this one.
This is the interview.
Wait, go on again. I was fucking around.
We visited one of your locations near Los Angeles and were amazed to find a fully staffed tent of Scientology organization right next to your food tents for your journalists and extras.
What were you amazed about?
Why do you go so extremely pubic about your personal convictions?
Did you say pubic?
I did, Mr. Cruise.
I believe in freedom of speech. I felt honored to have volunteered Scientology ministers on the set. They were helping the crew, goddammit. When I'm working on a movie, I do anything to help the people I'm spending time with. I believe in communication.
The tent of this sect at someone's working place still seems somewhat strange to us.
Huh?
Do you see it as your job to recruit new followers for Scientology?
I'm a helper, damn it! For instance, I myself have helped hundreds of people get off drugs. You know, like pot. Stuff like that. In Scientology, we have the only successful drug rehabilitation program in the world. It's called Narcanon.
That is not correct. Yours is never mentioned among the recognized detox programs. Independent experts warn against it because it is rooted in pseudoscience.
You don't understand what I'm saying. It's a statistically proven fact that there is only one successful drug rehabilitation program in the world, period!
With all due respect, Mr. Cruz, we doubt that.
Thank you.
So concludes John and Sky Theater.
Thank you so much.
I'd have to say that was an excellent maniacal Tom Cruise.
Well, I was doing the Tom Cruise from A Few Good Men. Oh. You can't handle the truth! That's what I was doing.
I should have done the German as Jack Nicholson then.
Oh, yeah.
Or did I say Nicholas?
Nicholson. Nicholson's correct.
Now I have a story for all you kids. Now, John, you mentioned in one of our podcasts about Scientology, and Scientology, you have to go through levels. There are different levels.
Yes, I did.
There are 9 known levels, 15 theorized levels.
I looked up some stuff. I have a little bit of a story to tell you.
Tell me now.
I looked up some stuff regarding EST. I can't remember. It's like Eckhart Statistical Training, I don't know, or Statistical Training, I don't know. Some years ago, I got involved in a thing called the Forum, which was kind of a cult thing, and whenever you look it up and you ask about EST, one of the things they say, no, this is not Scientology. However, some other people kind of bring it in as part of Scientology, because there is something involved in Scientology that is ripped off of a... I'll have to get back to you on this.
Maybe next podcast. That would be...
Right. But it does convenient. Have... It has to do with an old... psychology thing that happened by, I think it was a German guy, German professor that developed this. And I think it's called aversion therapy or something like that.
Right, Johann Pagels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Very good. That's the guy. And anyway, I went to this thing called the Forum. I was working at a company where the boss felt very very passionate about this kind of religion thing. He asked me and another guy to go. This guy, Scott Wilkinson, that I used to hang around with. We went to it. It was really, really uplifting. And the first thing they asked us for was $500.
Sweet.
To go for a weekend. Now it's up to $700, I believe. But anyways, it's for a weekend, and it's an inquiry of yourself. Basically, you stand there, and it's almost like you're being audited. When I started reading about the Scientology, when we were discussing it a couple weeks ago, I started thinking about this thing that I went to where they wanted my money, and they wanted me to sit there for a weekend and audit me, basically.
So you didn't do it.
I didn't do it. I actually freaked the person out on the phone that she needed to get guidance from a higher-level person.
Wow. Your manager. That's what that's called.
Yeah.
Did Scott Wilkinson do it?
No. When he found out that I didn't do it, I saw him on the payphone. He was calling him, and he tried to use the same dialogue I did, but he lost his temper. And he said, "You're nothing but Satan, man! You're Satan!" And he hung up on him.
Sweet.
And he didn't go.
Didn't go. So you didn't go?
I didn't go. We went to two sessions. And it was pretty cool. It actually, you know, the speaker was very powerful, very manipulative. I thought, wow, this woman left a career. She had like 7 master's degrees. She could have taught any philosophy. She could have been a professor. Instead, she decided to be a speaker for this EST training. Check it out. Type in EST 70s or something from the 1970s, and you will get all this information. You will find out that this guy who left his wife, he did all these things. He sold the company to somebody else, and they call it the Forum or something like that. It still runs today. A lot of big companies send managers to it for training. Your wife might even have heard about
it. I'll ask her.
But I think it is very, very reminiscent of Scientology. It's brainwashing.
Well, talking about Scientology, I'm going to tell you a little story now. Now, we mentioned that when you become a Scientologist, your goal is to become clear. To do this, you have to go through 9 levels. It's kind of like a video game.
You're not reading this either.
Except you have to pay money to get to each level. Now, when they say... you have to pay money. When they say, when you're all said and done, when you've reached clear, to get to reaching clear, to receive all the lessons you need and the levels you need, it's going to cost you between $360,000 and $400,000.
Now, what?
If that ain't highway robbery, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Now, that's ridiculous.
Are they tax exempt? If they are, I'm going to be really upset.
They are totally tax exempt.
Oh.
They are classified as a religion.
90% of their income should go right to the government in taxes because it's a sham.
It's a sham. Totally.
And isn't that what the government's all about, taking money from stupid people and giving it to poor people? Well, that's not what it's about.
No, they're taking it from us every minute. They're obviously smart enough to disguise this fucking cult.
John, let me ask you a
question. Into a church.
Who is Xenu? Do you know?
Xenu, I believe he is some sort of godlike creature alien proportion.
He's alien. That's correct. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story right now. Are you sitting comfortable?
I'm ready for a story. I have my beer in
hand. I will begin.
I'm a little fried.
Once upon a time, 75 million years ago, to be more precise, there was an alien galactic leader.
Galactic? Is he gay?
He was galactic.
He's a galactic. He's lactose intolerant gay leader.
I'm Xenu, and I'm going to spell that for you so you can search for him yourself. X-E-N-U, Xenu.
We are total talk nonsense.
Xenu was in charge of all the planets in his part of the galaxy, including our own planet Earth, except in those days it was called Tigakalakakik.
Shut up.
No, that's what it says.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this off of Clambake?
This is off of Xenu.net.
Oh, he's now got his own website.
Xenu had a problem. All of the 76 planets he controlled were overpopulated. Each planet had an average 178 billion people. Of course, he had to get rid of some. So Xenu took over complete control with the help of renegades to defeat the good people and the loyal officials. Sounds like Lord Sidious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Then with the help of psychiatrists. He called in billions of people for income tax inspections where they were instead given injections of alcohol and glycol mixed to paralyze them. Do you hear that?
Wait a minute. Can you say psychiatrist?
I don't think I can repeat that. Anyway, he told all these people, hey, you got to come in for a tax meeting. And then he shot them up with alcohol and glycol to paralyze them.
Who did?
Xenu, man. Then they were put into a space
Wait
plane.
A minute. Who wrote all this shit?
I'm getting to that.
All right.
This is just a story.
All right, all right.
Then they were put into space planes that looked exactly like DC-8s, except they had rocket motors instead of propellers. These DC-8 planes then flew to planet Earth where they paralyzed people, were stacked around the bases of volcanoes and their hundreds of billions.
Did you say alcanoes?
Volcanoes.
Volcanoes.
Like, no, like Val Kilmer-canoes. When they had finished stacking them around, the H-bombs were lowered into the volcanoes. Xenu then detonated all the H-bombs at the same time, and everyone was killed.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so this alien ruler, overpopulation, he brought them all to Earth, put them around the volcanoes, and dropped H-bombs into the volcanoes and killed them all. He sounds like a bad guy.
What
Xenu.
Was the point of that?
This is a story I'm telling, okay?
Oh.
The story doesn't end there. Can I continue?
Please do.
Since everyone has a soul called a thetan.
Wait, a what?
A thetan.
T-H-E?
T-H-E-T-A-N.
Thetan. A thetan.
Then you have to trick souls into not coming back again. So while the hundreds of billions of souls were being blown around by the nuclear winds, he had special electronic traps, Xenu did, that caught all the souls in electronic beams. Got it?
That's pretty freaky.
So he killed them all. Their souls,
far out.
Let's say their souls went up and formed a cloud. Then Xenu captured their cloud. And here's what he did after that.
Give it to me, baby.
After he had captured all the clouds, I kind of sound like Andy Dick. After he had captured all the clouds and the souls in the clouds, he packed them into boxes and he took them to huge cinemas. This would be movie theaters.
Cinemas.
For you non-intellectuals. There, all the souls had to spend days watching Special 3D.
Wait, it was... Wait, for what intellectual? Intellectuals. Intellectuals.
Honest intellectuals.
I'm hunting funny
so
rabbits.
They had to spend days watching special 3D motion pictures that told them what life should be like.
Did you say pictures?
Confusing things.
Did you say pictures?
Pictures.
Read that sentence again,
in
please.
In this film, they were shown false pictures and told they were God, the devil, and Christ. In the story, this process is called implanting. When the film ends, the souls left the cinema. I wonder if they got their ticket stubs when they left. Hey, can I come back and see it again? And they started to stick together because since they had all seen the same film, they thought they were the same people. That makes sense. Like when you and I go see a movie and we leave, I think we're the same person.
How dare you?
They clustered in groups of a few thousand. Now, because there were only a few living bodies left, they stayed as clusters and inhabited the bodies. Okay, so what he's saying here is they possessed the few bodies left on Earth. And these are like Adam and Eve and Moses and the Pharaoh. What was his name? Moses and Ramses.
Pharisees. Oh, Ramses, yeah.
As for Xenu, the loyal officers finally overthrew him, and they locked him away in a mountain on one of the many planets. He is kept in by a force field powered by an eternal battery, and Xenu is still alive today. He's like 76 and 2 million years old.
What?
This is the end of the story, and so every day, everyone is full of these clusters of souls called body thetans. And if we are to be free of the soul of the thetan, then we have to remove all these thetans and pay lots of money to do so. The only reason people believe in God and Christ was because it was a film that their thetan saw 76 million years ago.
And where is this story from?
I'm getting
to that. Did you read this shit from?
So did you think this was a stupid story? Do you think it was imaginative, creative?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's like total George Lucas, whatever. I wouldn't even say George Lucas, because he comes up with great space operas, and is shit.
Can I get the emergency sound?
I could have shit in a bucket and came up with a better sci-fi. What do you want? You going to reveal?
Well, I'm going to hold that to you. Next podcast, you have to come up with a better story than that.
Really?
Yeah. Snap out of it. That lame-ass story I just told you, that story is the core belief in the religion known as Scientology.
Shut up! Come on!
No shit, man.
Shut up! I have never read some bullshit like that. Come on!
Can I finish? This story is told to you when you reach one of their secret levels called OT3. After you are supposed to telepathically communicate with these body thetans to make them go away. You have to pay a lot of money to get to this level and do this.
Come on. You know what Tom Cruise would say? You're a bigot.
I'm a bigot.
Right away, they slam people who find... Now, this is true, right? Isn't it true? Is this true?
Well, this is what you find out when you get to the third level of Scientology.
OT3 or whatever?
OT3. Now, you figured Tom Cruise and John Travolta have been in it since the 80s, right?
Right, right.
So they're well beyond level 3.
Oh, man.
So they
believe this fucking garbage.
They believe in Xenu and thetans and a cinema that showed Jesus films to souls that were hydrogen bombed.
Come on.
And captured.
You gotta be retarded to think of that shit, actually.
You're insulting retarded people when you say that.
Alright, I'm sorry. Not retarded people, but I mean, you gotta be really fucking stupid to believe in that bullshit.
No,
it helped me with my dyslexia.
You gotta be much deeper than stupid. You gotta be...
Hey, Tom Cruise, here's a revelation. You fucking figured it out for yourself. You didn't need no goddamn mystical Scientology to tell you. Oh, it gives you tools. What? How about a fucking brain? That's a tool.
Hold it. Now, he told British Premier magazine, British Premier, quote, Scientology is an applied religious philosophy. It gives tools to improve your conditions. Tools I have learned in terms of literacy that allow me to fly planes and produce movies.
How about your own effing brain?
Well, let's think about the self-confidence
of Tom Cruise.
What
kind of tools? A fucking ratchet wrench?
So the guy grew up thinking he could never fly a plane because he was too stupid or produce movies. So then he gets into Top Gun. Does he still think he can't fly planes? He's not smart enough? And then Scientology comes in and, oh, yeah, I think I, you know, because I read the script, so I'm smart enough now.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard guided me. He gave me the tools to read a fucking altimeter.
And here's the final say.
And how to hold my stick.
How to hold it and switch it.
And grind it.
Gears.
And take Goose and shove my big hairy...
We've been talking about, is Tom Cruise gay or not? I don't know. Here's some evidence that he is, allegedly. And this whole Katie Holmes thing seems like a complete fabrication to me.
Right. It's a cover-up.
Cover-up for his homosexuality.
He's gay.
Just like the W. Just like the W. I wonder if Tom Cruise wanted to be a cheerleader.
I don't know. I want him in here. Let's interview.
Here is the bottom line on Tom Cruise being gay. I searched on Google, Tom Cruise, comma, gay. And you know how many hits I got?
How many?
872,000 hits.
Holy shit. 872,000 hits.
Thousand. So
there's a lot of people that think or know he's gay.
Well, a lot of those were because Tom Cruise sues so many people that say he's gay.
Why? Why does he get so upset about it? What does he fucking care?
Who knows?
Here we go again. Why do you give such a shit what other people think? Oh, it's ruined my credibility. But what's going to make me even more popular is to tell everybody that I believe in a completely fucking fabricated religion.
But let's digress back to Scientology and see if we can get some donations from you fans out there. If you are currently a Scientologist and you heard that story I just told, send all the money that you were going to pay to get to that level to us here at AKC at KangarooCourt.com. And here's something else. And when you get to the ninth level, do you know what you find out at the ninth level?
No.
L. Ron Hubbard is God. You know how much you pay to get to the ninth level? 400 G's.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so any of you newcomers to Scientology, if I've enlightened you in any way, if you've had some sort of epiphany or revelation about the real world, then send us all the money you were going to send.
Yeah, remortgage your house and send us the 400,000 G's.
That you were going to send to L. Ron Combird.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous. Absolutely.
It's fucking a travesty.
It's a joke.
Xenu.
Sounds like a bad disco album.
Hey, check it out. I just picked it up from Rolling Stone. We have Xenu live. Xenu. In concert. Talking about how to convert your fucking brain into a worthless mystical. I mean, it doesn't even borderline any of the. I mean, at least some of the mythological characters like Zeus and whatever. Was there any more? Venus?
Apollo.
Shit like that. I mean, they had some stories that were somewhat believable. But, strapping everybody at the bottom, stacking the bodies up of humans around volcanoes and dropping in H-bombs. Yeah, whatever.
I've got big plans for my future. A good college, a career, maybe even my own business someday. But one thing I'm not planning on is getting pregnant. That's why I choose anal sex. I mean, sure, it hurts a little, and I wind up walking funny for a day or two. But I think my future's worth it. Anal sex, the smart choice for your future.
Now that you've heard the story of Xenu, let's hear some of the issues from a scientific perspective.
Critics of Scientology have pointed out that there are many factual and scientific problems with the story of Xenu.
Well, you said thetan a couple of times, and can I tell you what thetan is in the Scientology terms?
Of course you can.
A thetan, a spiritual being similar to the immortal soul in Christianity or Jiva in Hinduism. A spiritual being, or theta, life force, spirit.
All right, so then. There's no scientific evidence that the events Hubbard described even took place. Though, in fairness, Hubbard never did try to put a scientific gloss on the story. Peter Ford's paper, A Scientific Scrutiny of OT3, The Matter in Detail. Hubbard did not elaborate on the number of space planes required to transport a population of 13.5 trillion people, but the Douglas DC-8, said to be an exact copy in Xenu's spaceship, seats a maximum of 250 people and has a payload of only around 400-500 kilograms. That's too much detail. I'll try to avoid that in the future. Depending on the specific
model... Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
This means that only 600 to 700 human-sized frozen bodies could have been transported with each trip. It would therefore have required 54.1 billion trips with everyone seated, or 19.3 billion trips with frozen bodies packed more efficiently. That seems overwhelming, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to email Penn and Teller because I want to see a bullshit episode on Scientology.
There you go. I like that. I love that.
They did it on the Bible. Why the fuck do they do it on Xenu?
Yeah, then he gets into all his BS about the per alien, cubic foot, cubic miles, blah, blah, blah.
So the bottom line is...
bottom line is the impact...
There's no way it could happen with the DC-10.
Yeah, with killing the dinosaurs was 65 million years ago. The frozen bodies would have had to have been stacked a mile deep, covering an area more than 6 miles across... six volcanoes, even assuming that they were still all killed, their fossilized remains would certainly be visible in geological strata today. The energy required to blow up Xenu's victims would also have been colossal. Thousands of hydrogen bombs with the cumulative explosive force equivalent to gigatons of TNT would have been needed. This would certainly have left physical traces. Blah, blah, blah.
Obviously.
Such a huge release of energy, more than during the full-scale nuclear war, would have wrecked the Earth's climate, causing a nuclear winter, blah, blah, blah. The hydrogen bombs would have left a residue of radioactive isotopes, blah, blah, blah. It has been suggested that Hubbard meant to explain the Cretaceous-Tertiarian extinction event through the Xenu story, but he got the dates wrong. 75 million years ago as opposed to 65 million years ago, though this is unproven, nor is there evidence of mass extinctions around either time.
It's unbelievable, man. Did I ever tell you the list, the celebrity listing of people that are into Scientology?
Hold on. The volcanoes that Hubbard mentions in the story, notably Las Palmas in Hawaii, didn't even exist when the events occurred. Finally, the earlier Incident 1, quote, Incident 1, end quote, is set four quadrillion years ago, which is nearly 300,000 times the currently accepted age of the universe of 13.7 billion years.
Jesus Christ. Are you done yet?
Yes, I'm finished.
It was an emotional moment Monday for former President Bush. He broke down in tears as he spoke to lawmakers in Tallahassee about his son Jeb and how his son handled it when he lost a governor's race back in 1994.
True measure of a man is how you handle victory and also defeat. So in 94, Floridians chose to rehire the governor, but they took note of his defeated opponent, who showed not merely with words but by his actions what decency and I can do it.
Finally, we get to the best part of the episode. This is my first appearance on the show from episode 6. John and Scott brought me aboard. Episode 6. First appearance, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Can I get some news music?
Yeah.
Our new newsman, we're trying him out. We heard about him. He's done a lot of great stuff. Phil McCracken Whitcomb. He's going to come in and do the news for us today.
Here we go.
Thank you, John. And I'd just like to say, if I can begin before I start the news, that working with you two fellows is quite exhilarating. I've only been here for 5 minutes, but it's fantastic. You really are two talented people. Thank you. All right, getting to news. A portrait of President George W. Bush using monkeys to form his image has led to the closure of a New York art exhibit over the weekend and anguishes protesters over freedom of expression. Bush Monkeys, a small acrylic on canvas by Chris Savato, created a stir at the Chelsea Market public space. John and Scott, I believe you've been to Chelsea, haven't you?
No, where's that?
He's talking about when we visited Papucci.
Oh,
Chelsea, we were right there, man. Right there.
All right, back to the news.
Okay.
Teen charged after... I'm still getting used to this, the timing and all. Please don't hold me accountable for anything I may say.
All right.
Or not.
You're on.
Teen charged after vomiting on teacher. A high school student who vomited on his Spanish teacher, como está vomitito, has been charged with battery against a high school official. The misdemeanor charge is filed Monday against the Olitha Northwest High School student. The 17-year-old boy was charged as a juvenile, and his name was not released. Bosses of a publishing firm are trying to work out why no one noticed that one of their employees had been sitting dead at a desk for 5 days before anyone asked if he was feeling okay. George Turkelbaum, 51, who had been employed as a goof preed writer... hold on. He was employed as a proofread writer at the New York firm for 30 years, had a heart attack in an open plate office he shared with 23 other workers. He quietly passed away on Monday, but nobody noticed until Saturday morning when an office cleaner asked him why he was still working during the weekend, and he did not respond. His boss said George was always the first guy in each morning and the last to leave at night, so no one found it unusual that he was in the same position all the time and didn't say anything. He was usually absorbed in his work and kept to himself.
Oh, yeah.
If either of you, John or Scott, have any commentary, please feel free to break in.
I can't, man. It's just too fucked up.
This is out of the Associated Press, Red Bank, Tennessee. I think in Tennessee they have the same saying in Texas, don't they, John? About the fool me once.
Fool me twice.
Shame on.
Shame on.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says fool me once. Shame on. Shame on you. Get fooled, man. You can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again. And you know, John, I was listening to your earlier podcast, and I noticed that George W. went to an all-male high school and an all-male Yale university, and I believe both of those are on the East Coast because I, too, attended those schools. What's interesting?
Wait a minute. I don't know.
I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. That's kind of one of those exaggerations.
That may be an exaggeration, but what is not as an exaggeration is George W. Bush had the best education money could buy, and he still talks like adult with a very Texas accent, which is like used to coulda and be experience. It's ridiculous. But if I may, Red Bank, Tennessee, two young women complained to police that they were spanked by their 57-year-old employer.
What?
For mistakes on the job, and the boss now faces criminal charges. One of the women told police that her first day at the Tasty Flavors Snowbiz, before any spanking, owner Paul Eugene Levengood made her sign a statement that said, quote, I give you, Eugene, permission to bust my behind any way you see fit, unquote.
What?
Police Sergeant Jay...
In terms of, the detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble That means not tell the truth?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't think it was going to be that long.
That's quite all right. I will wait an indefinite amount of time for the president of the free world.
Please digress.
I'm going to digress. Police Sergeant Jay LeMacy said the two 19-year-old women likely accepted the spankings instead of leaving immediately because they were brought up to respect authority and anybody who is an authority figure.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
One of the women told police that she was shocked at the incident, but could not leave because she had no transportation. The other woman said she continued to work for Living Good because then a year after she was spanked and reported to police that he told her either she could be spanked or be fired.
Wait a minute.
Our most abundant energy source is coal.
New story out of Wilmer, Minnesota. After its last pastor allegedly bilked them out of $10,000, leaders of Rejoice Ministries Church thought they were being extra careful when they hired James Poole.
Careful.
Still reeling from the theft, they asked Poole to come to the church and preach in the act of caution to ensure that Poole was legitimate before hiring him.
Holy shit.
He did a good service. Church Secretary Mary Stevens told the West Central Tribune,
I will give him credit for that.
Poole was hired in August, and less than a month later, he allegedly skipped town without repaying $34,000 he had borrowed from the church for rent, trips, strippers, bathtub, Stevens said. Let me go through my remaining stories and see what I have here. Yes. This is a good one. Very good. Any commentary?
Phil McCracken, I think we got to wrap it up, man.
All right, I will only tell one more story.
It's 12:20.
Two stories. This will take 5 minutes.
It's fucking over midnight. I got to be at work tomorrow.
This is Oklahoma City. A former state judge who allegedly used a sex toy called the penis pump in court was charged with three felony counts of indecent exposure by an Oklahoma authorities. Judge Donald Thompson, 58, pleaded to not guilty.
Have another Glenn Fittich.
Last year, a court reporter who worked for Thomas was fired after she said she saw the judge masturbate and used the penis pump during the hearings. Other witnesses claim they saw Thompson use the pump in court. Our last story out of London. A Welsh rugby fan cut off his own testicles to celebrate Wales beating England in rugby.
I heard about that. That's pretty old.
Geoff Mushy, 26, was so convinced England wouldn't win Saturday's match, he told fellow drinkers at a social club, if Wales wins, I'll cut off my balls. Actually, it would be more like this. If Wales wins, I'll cut off my balls. Friends of the club in Caerphilly, South Wales, thought he was joking. But after the game, Hoosh went home, severed his testicles with a knife, and walked 200 yards back to the bar with his testicles to show the shock drinkers.
Here they are.
Hulse was taken to a hospital where he remained in serious condition, a paper said. And I am Phil McCracken Whitcomb reporting for AKC Total Talk Nonsense. Thank you. Good night.
We have Cage here, who is the founder of Smacktard.
Right.
And he was just, you know, though it is a twat, it's a unique one, this was. So this particular is a twat is quite simply a sympathy is a twat.
Oh, okay.
Because those lovely guys at TTN left a message on his MySpace page a while back, and they closed it with, if only we could find out how to become an is a twat. And thus, I put it to you, Tony, can you fix it for them? He also adds in that they're smacktards, and he'll be deeply honoured, and I'm sure they would be too. So,
who's this?
This is from Cage. This is for Scott and John at TTN. Is a twat.
John and Scott at TTN is a twat.
Yeah, well, I can't
any excuse to get those fuckers into our show. By the way, do listen to Total Talk Nonsense. They are utterly
Fantastic.
The best podcast ever.
Also, they've got a Skype thing on this Tuesday. Should we figure that out?
Fuck Skype.
I don't understand it myself.
What is
that? Skype.
What is it? Tell me what it is.
Oh, it's internet telephones or something.
Yeah, it's all talking
to
internet.
It's probably the future or something.
Probably, but this is the future.
John has always exuded patriotism, and in this next clip, you'll hear the most patriotic TTN rant on record.
Oh, I know it. It's 1979, wow. Roller Boogie.
As a matter of fact,
Roller Boogie.
Wait, this is a global effort. We're facing a group of folks who have such hatred in their heart, they'll strike anywhere.
What do you think?
Sorry, I just had to play that.
What's the first thing?
You laughed so hard earlier when I a-hole self played that.
Well, what do you think he was in his mind? What was the first thing that came to mind when he was saying that? A group of assholes, a group of
fucking terrorist pricks, and they said a group of folks.
A group of folks.
How about this one?
Gosh, I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. That's kind of one of those. Exaggerations.
Kind of like one of those exaggerations. Fucking embarrassment to the office.
To everything. Everything patriotic. You know what? I went out and bought a flag, and when you came by today, it was flying in the wind, because I am a proud effing patriot, man. And that's what I cannot understand about people nowadays, is why not question the government? That is totally the most patriotic thing you can do, is uphold the Constitution. Uphold it. Stand proud. Question. Question authority. Question the people that fucking work for you, day and night, taking your taxes, exploiting them, putting your brothers and sisters and whatever, and sending them to war.
Those folks.
The group of folks. I can't fucking take it anymore.
It's
literally, I can't sleep. It's driving me fucking crazy.
Well,
somebody would say, why don't you take up a gun and go over there and help fight? Hey, let the fucking wackos kill themselves. What about protecting our country here on our own effing soil, like our forefathers planned it, like it said in the Constitution? Why don't they do it here?
My job is a job to make decisions. If the job description were what do you do, it's decision maker. And I make a lot of big ones and I make a lot of little ones.
But what happened to the commander figure of yore? The heroic. I'm just like the W.
I feel bad for the real Republicans out there, and I would vote. I would totally, in a heartbeat, vote for John McCain.
In this next clip, Scott correlates John's favorite show, Star Trek, with pedophilia.
All right, so getting back to Star Trek, a new scholarship on Star Trek and pedophilia.
What?
Don't let her touch your wand, Jim!
In May, Yale cyber law expert Ernest Miller noticed an astonishing tidbit in a Los Angeles Times story on the Toronto Police Sex Crimes Unit's pursuit of pedophiles. All but one of over 100 offenders have been arrested, and the last 4 years was a hardcore Trekkie.
What?
Of all, they arrested over 100 pedophiles, and all but one was a hardcore Trekkie.
Really?
Miller was skeptical, but the cops all but one stood by their story. At the least, a majority of those arrested show a least passing interest in Star Trek, if not a strong interest. Not just an interest in science fiction generally, mind you, but Star Trek with Captain Kirk.
Why would that be?
I'm going to tell you. The conventional explanation for the seemingly bizarre correlation is that pedophiles must simply be trying to use an interest in Star Trek as a device to lure their prey. But Ellen Ladowski, an L.A. therapist, thinks there actually is something inherent in the show itself that makes a it irresistibly... I need to start over. She thinks that it's something inherent in the show itself that makes it irresistible to perverts. She lays out her case in HuffPost. When it comes to relationships off the ship, Captain Kirk displays a truly astonishing emotional poverty. He goes from planet to planet, having trysts with an assortment of nubile women, but never forms any real attachments. There's a perversive...
Spock rhymes with cock.
There's a perseverance. There's
perseverance.
There's a pervasive message.
Who the fuck said that?
That women are toxic. In an episode called Cat's Paw, there is an evil sorceress.
That's bullshit.
Can I finish?
What's your fucking point?
That evil sorceress who separates the crew from each other and from their own what? Their
What's
own.
Your fucking point?
I lost my place. from each other and from the starship, they're perpetually indignant. Dr. McCoy cautions Kirk.
Caution Kirk.
Don't let her touch your wand, Jim, or you lose all your power. On a very rare occasion,
I'm a doctor, not a
where
bricklayer.
Kirk seems to find love, his partners quickly die off. After one of his lovers have his croak, Kirk's admonishes.
You dyslexic fuck. What are you saying?
I'm just like the W. Admonishes.
Saying mixed messages. Mixed messages.
Spock. Love, you're better off without it. In the Star Trek universe, every bad impulse is attributed to an external force when it comes to sex. For example, it's always an outside influence that takes possession of the crew's minds or bodies, causing them to behave in erotically driven ways. Child molesters have a similar mechanism.
I just blew snot out my nose, man.
They deny having any sexual impulses themselves. They frequently claim it was the children who seduced them. Oh. All right, man. So, back off on Star Trek, okay?
That looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
In this next clip, Fergie soils herself at John and Scott Review, Meet the Fockers.
Before we get into Meet the Fockers, there's this picture in Blender magazine. It's the 500 greatest songs we've talked about before.
Yeah.
But there's this chick, Fergie. Did you know Fergie? You know who Fergie is?
I don't know her.
I don't know her, but she's in the Black Eyed Peas. So I'm going to go to iTunes and check out some Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
But anyway, at a performance in San Diego's annual street scene in July, for which the band arrived late, a disheveled Spurgie sported a wet spot. Did I say Spurgie?
Spurgie.
A disheveled Fergie sported a wet spot on her crotch.
Nice.
Leading to rumors that she answered nature's call while on stage. The band's publicist declined to comment on the origins of the mystery stain. Onlookers say, and local radio stations reported, that it seemed to appear suddenly after the second song.
I'm so fucking into it.
I'm 100% certain that Fergie wet herself on stage.
Oh, man.
Said Kristen Sutton, who was in the audience that night. I feel horrible for her, but I respect her for trying to play through it. And hey, if I'm on stage and there's, I don't know how many people are there, and I got to take a leak, I'm not going to say, hey, can we stop? I'm just going to piss in my pants. What's the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Shit no doubt. Happens. So, shit happens, Fergie. Let's just hope it's piss. But maybe maybe it was perspiration, you know, because men sweat and women perspire. Yeah.
Hey, Fergie.
Suck my cock right off your face.
So I'll check out some Black Eyed Peas when I get home on iTunes.
The hell was that?
That was me. I threw the magazine
Stop
on the
Stop doing
floor.
That. You're freaking me out, man. I'm catching it, like, in the headphones and outside the headphones.
All right, so let's get to Meet the Fockers, okay?
Yeah.
Meet the Fockers. Now, I didn't have great expectations going into this movie, all right? And the goddamn movie starts, and the first joke they had was what the hell's the guy's name?
Robert De Niro?
No. The son. Who's the son? The guy who's getting married. The Focker.
Gaylord.
Gaylord Focker.
Gaylord Focker.
Right. He calls his parents.
Greg.
Dustin Hoffman.
Greg, they call him.
And Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Yenta. Anyway.
Lentil.
Whatever.
Yenta. I don't know.
And the answering machine. Do you remember this stupid-ass joke where they do the message and then they get in an argument because they don't know how the answering machine works?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I think this is it right here.
And I'm thinking to myself, am I in for 2 hours of this stupidity? But
it's like he said, disassemble. That means suck your tits.
And he was all coked up. So now you know what George W. is doing on a daily basis.
Suck your tits.
But I think the producers put that in there right away to set my expectations so goddamn low that anything would be funny. And there, I agree, there were some funny moments.
There was some goddamn funny.
But what the hell is De Niro doing? I always thought De Niro, you know, he's a private guy. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. But he'll show up in the Fockers and he'll put a tit sling on and breastfeed a baby. It's like, what are you doing, De Niro? You were in Raging Bull. God damn it. You were in Ronin.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It's so contrite. Is that the word?
You were Vito Corleone, for God's sakes. And he's got a boob, a fake prosthetic boob, that he wants people to feel.
Greg, you gotta understand.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This gives a baby confidence, you know. It was great.
But in the last podcast, you mentioned that De Niro was the funniest part of that movie, and I think he was. And I have to recommend a movie to you. I don't know, maybe you've seen it or not, with De Niro. One of my favorite De Niro movies. Midnight Run. Have you ever seen it?
No.
With Charles Grodin. If you thought Meet the Fockers was funny, this is like 10 times funnier than the Fockers.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That is one kick-ass movie.
I just thought Meet the Fockers was so goddamn... Okay, you got Dustin Hoffman, Barbara Streisand, and Bobby De Niro, okay?
Bobby D.
They're these high, you know, Oscar-winning actors. They're, you know, they're really into their part. Well, not Barbara Streisand, but she's a big star. You got to admit,
she's
a
big
huge
star.
So here they are in this fucking nickel movie,
and she pulled it off.
Yeah,
I mean, they all did great jobs at what they had to do. But when does De Niro's publicist or even De Niro say, "Hey,
come on,
I'm not going to put this boob on"? And
first time I heard Greg Focker talk about milk and cats in the first one. And he goes, Greg, I got nipples. Can you milk me? To hear De Niro say that.
Well, that's funny.
I cannot stop laughing. My wife's like, shut up already. It's not that funny.
Yeah, it is. Just looking at De Niro delivering a line like he's Don Corleone. He wasn't Corleone.
He was the young Vito Corleone in Godfather 2.
Oh, two. Yeah. Okay. I thought you meant in like the first one.
And he was in Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
With Jodie Foster, who we talked about earlier.
You talking to me? I got nipples. Can you milk me?
Oh, Sybil Shepherd was in that with Albert Brooks, too. What a great frickin' movie
that
was.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
So, and he doesn't do interviews. He likes black chicks. That's all we pretty much know about the guy.
Right.
And then he shows up and he throws a fake tit over his shoulder to breastfeed his nephew or grandson or whatever. Yeah, I couldn't get over that. That was too out of it for me.
And then the cops found, we found a fake titty.
Oh, yeah.
And then could you not laugh at that movie?
And then he gets tasered.
Yeah. Well,
I thought he was going to handle that situation. Hey, stop your cackling and get the taser sound.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you got De Niro at the side of the road being all spastic like he's getting tasered.
With that fucked up bottom lip that...
Right.
Oh my god. See, and you're dying over it. Come on, that had to be so goddamn funny.
It was hard. I was conflicted. It was funny,
it was
on
horrible.
One hand, but on the other hand, his reputation preceded him, and I didn't know how to deal with it.
He's at the point where he could give a fuck, man.
I guess
he's
so.
He's just acting to have a good time.
Yeah, apparently.
He's like,
well, maybe he always was, but he got lucky.
Fucking artist. I'm just dicking around.
Leave me the fuck alone. Do you know what the fuck is going on? Period. Fuck you. I've had it up to here. Who's reacting to what, for God's sakes? Fuck you, motherfucker! Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you! Get the fucking thing together, fuck you! Oh yeah, bullshit. That's why we spent five or six fucking hours doing something else? No! God damn it! You fucked it up, god damn you! Now get straight on and help! If you can't help them, help me!
In this next clip, Scott rants about a Ferris wheel.
You know, I'm driving home.
There is just no continuity in this fucking thing.
I'm driving home
from Galena.
90. That's I-90. I is for interstate.
Yeah,
for
you
want actually
to follow them.
Challenge people. And
Illinois 90?
No, it's interstate.
Oh.
So I say to the lovely, I say, you know what? We're not going to get off at Arlington Heights. We're going to follow this baby all the way in to Park Ridge, all right? She's like, great. So you pass Arlington Heights exit,
yeah,
and then you round this corner, and then lock them up, baby. Lock them up. So we're sitting there.
I would never go that way, ever.
And
bad move.
Yeah, it was a bad move. And the thing about it is you can't exit for 25 miles
right,
or something.
Right, because there's a toll booth. There's other shit merging there.
But it wasn't a toll booth. It wasn't other shit merging. Do you know what it was?
What?
Frickin' gapers looking at a carnival at Rosemont.
Oh my
Horizon,
god.
Or the Allstate Arena. I could not believe it.
Future carnies.
A Ferris wheel's turning. And these idiots have to slow down to look at a Ferris wheel! Who's unbelievable. So to all you gapers out there.
Gapers.
What the F is wrong with you? I need to get home. Just keep driving. You've never seen an effing carnival before? Then get off the road and go visit the carnival. Where do you stand on that, Papooch? You a creationism or an evolutionary kind of guy?
I am an evolutionary.
Oh my god! I did have another drink.
Hello.
Hey.
It stinks.
Yo, Adrian.
That'll be on the Papucci soundboard.
And this next clip, John and Scott embrace intelligent design and discuss the Creation Museum. At the end of the segment, you'll hear Scott's call into Penn's radio show when Richard Dawkins was a guest.
Scott, I just got a quick article about
intelligent design. Again, we get back to ID and evolution. It seems to be raping.
It's a hot topic.
Seems to be raping the headlines.
Yeah.
And the guy does mention the. Actually, no. I think it's a woman, Dahlia Lithwick. It's kind of like Hardwick from
Lick.
Debbie Does Dallas. Anyway, she gets into this intelligent design and she says, "Hey, let's embrace intelligent design."
Oh, see, I was going to hit print on that one.
Think of the applications. Science is, after all, teeming with unresolved conundrums. What if we just recognize, for instance, that we can't make the standard model of particle physics work? This theory, which purports to describe all known matter, including subatomic particles such as quarks and leptons, as well as the forces by which they interact, is plagued by scientists' failure to observe something called proton decay. Now, if we apply the ID principle to particle physics, no one ever needs to know, and they never need to put on a lab coat again. Quarks and leptons? They're made by God, John. There are many thorny medical mysteries doctors can't explain. How can pluripotent stem cells give rise to any type of cell in the body? Only God knows. Why is the genetic marker for Huntington's disease characterized by an excess of trinucleotide repeats? Only God knows. What accounts for the phenomenon of spontaneous remissions in some cancers? It's God.
It's God's
intelligent
will.
Intelligent design, we don't ever need to find out. Years from now, we'll all lie on our hospital beds while ID-trained doctors hold our hands and assure us that we are merely dying of God. Replacing every single gap in human knowledge with theory of divine agency would save us billions of dollars in wasteful public education. In fact, while we're at it,
yeah,
replacing every single Gap store with a God store would save us billions of dollars on flat front chinos.
Hold on, laugh track.
My modest proposal would be that instead of using intelligent design merely to fill in the gaps and inconsistencies of our most interactable scientific puzzles. Yeah, write this for a second grader, okay? We roll back what we've already learned about science and plug God into the question at the outset. Kind of cut out those annoying scientific middlemen. The apple didn't fall onto Sir Isaac Newton's head because of gravity. It was God. God didn't want Newton to study science. He doesn't want us to either. And I, for one, am relieved. As Galileo famously said, the Teen Talk Barbie famously paraphrased, and Teen Talk Barbie did.
Barbly, that's good, man. You liquored up there, bud.
Science is hard.
Yeah.
But not if God's involved, then it's easy.
Yeah.
And in a related story, John, I don't know if you know this, I think we've talked about this before, there's a museum that is based on creationism.
Yeah. I have not read that, but it's on the board.
It's on the board.
It's on the TTN board here.
I think Phil may have mentioned it, that a museum opened that has dinosaurs, and it fits that into creationism. So it's more fanatical than ID. It's getting all the way back to creationism. And here it says that God made dinosaurs on the sixth day of creation. Did you know that?
Oh.
The same day he made people, according to Rusty Carter's interpretation of the Bible. The word dinosaur... Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have to get into character. The word dinosaur was not invented back then, but in Job 38, there's
Job.
Two,
Job.
Job. I just spit on my microphone. There's two large creatures, Behemoth and Leviathan, said Carter, director of the Little Town based biblically correct tours.
Whores.
Either or both of the creatures were probably dinosaurs.
Leviathan.
19 kids trailed behind Carter on Saturday morning at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, most of them nodding knowingly as the tour guide pointed out flaws in exhibits.
So what he's saying is every single species
God
was created at the same goddamn time.
Yeah. And man was around when dinosaurs
were
around.
There's no extinction.
None.
There's no evolution.
Well, no, there's extinction.
Oh, there is extinction.
What do you guys think? Is the world really 4.5 billion years old? Carter asked.
Yeah.
Nonsense! One girl called out. The adults in the group smiled.
I'm so proud of my daughter.
There's a lot of people asking questions about science, Carter said.
Oh, my God.
Tour leaders said they're trying to point out flaws in the so-called science of evolution.
We have another war against
which
the
contradicts their own understanding of creation. Most of the children on Saturday's tour attended Foothills Bible Church in Littleton. About half go to public school, the rest to a Christian or homeschool.
Time for a revolution.
Many new creationist critiques of evolution that scientists' methods of dating rocks are inaccurate, for example. Did you know that, John?
Yeah, based on what? What has he got? What proof? Oh, God. Because God said so. He called them at night on his cell phone.
said Carter's colleague Tyson Thorne. Thorne's story included water, mud, and sudden catastrophe. Their fossilized from the flood, Cameron exclaimed. So maybe the dinosaurs became extinct because of the flood.
The flood.
The biblical flood fossilized dinosaurs, Thorne said, but dinosaurs made it onto the ark. All the animals did. He suspects Noah...
The T-Rex tipped it over.
Noah brought the baby dinosaurs, because who would want an adult Tyrannosaurus around? And the creatures succumb to overhunting or climate change. Biblically correct tours
so
cost...
So I want to know,
yes.
Can you ask him how he knew to drop
ask
the kangaroos
he's here
off?
He's here with us right now.
How'd you know to drop the kangaroos off at Australia?
Well, that was God's divinity and omnipresence and benevolence.
Noah?
He directed Noah.
I'm saying Noe because of Bush. You know, he has I eat everything. Right. Oh, that'd be Noe.
He directed Noah through the internets. Get this, John. Biblically correct tours cost $5 a person plus entrance fees.
This is what we're doing wrong, Scott. Total Talk Nonsense should exploit religion because there's a shitload of money in it.
A shitload of money
from
stupid
people. Look at what L. Ron Hubbard did, man.
L. Ron Hubbard is a genius. He's going to be in my 100 greatest list. And I will have my 100 greatest list when Cecil replies to who helped me find out who created the tube top, because that's the last slot that I have.
Cecil's having a hard time, huh?
Yeah, I haven't heard back from him. Usually when they reject you right away. So I think they're doing
some major research
anal on it. Now get this,
can
$5
we get
bucks
Cecil
a person.
On the air?
Carter estimated that 30,000 people have taken this. All right, let's do some quick math here. 30,000 times 5 is what?
150,000? Yeah.
All right. I can understand, Carter said. It's offensive to them. We're kind of attacking what they believe when talking about people with brains. What he teaches comes direct from the Bible. Carter said, the earth is 6,000 years old. The fossil Lucy? Purportedly a transition between ape-like creatures and humans is shoddy science. Organisms cannot evolve from one thing into another. You might have a small change, like a tadpole to a frog, but nothing more than that, Carter said.
Oh, my God.
Then this guy Stuckey, a paleontologist, said, I think it's great that a lot of these students are exposed to evidence from the fossil record. It's also closer to the truth than creationism, said Michael Tooley, a philosophy professor at the University of Colorado. And as a philosopher like I am, Michael Tooley, I'm inclined to say that it's rarely a case that false beliefs are beneficial to society over the long run. So he's saying that because these beliefs have been around so long that they're true. That's a great argument.
Yeah, that's classic.
A literal reading of the Bible not only reveals that God created peoples and dinosaurs at the same time, it also says slavery is acceptable, as is the stoning to death of women who is not a virgin on her wedding night.
Awesome! That's great.
That's from Carter, the guy who runs the...
Fucking retard.
I wonder if he has, like, an exhibit where there's, like, slaves being auctioned off.
Carter needs to be cornholed with a cactus.
At the end of the tour, Carter led a prayer to thank God for his opportunity to see God's hand at work. All 19 students said they believe Carter's interpretation of the museum's exhibits.
Oh, Jesus.
Did anyone think the museum got something right or Carter got it wrong? Come on now. Put up your hands if you disagree with me. Carter urged. None went up, but most of the kids say they'd love to visit the museum again.
Oh my. You know, Jesus is rolling over in his grave.
That's unbelievable.
He's like, what the fuck happened?
Dude, man.
I have to come back now because this fucking monkey.
I know where our next remote is. It's at this museum.
We got to do it.
We got to go to this museum.
We got to go on a road trip.
And do a remote and and ask people as they're coming out what they thought.
What do you think of this bullshit? There's
no, no,
some?
No.
Oh,
we got to
okay.
be like.
We got to be serious.
Yeah, we got to be like.
We're with the Jesus Christ of the
we're
Lord
with the Discovery
Bible.
Institute.
Discovery Institute of Jesus L. Christ.
Jesus H. That
the
is.
H. R. There, Scott.
Harry be thy middle name.
Harold be thy middle name.
So tell me what you thought about the dinosaurs on the yard.
What you think about them all there, Bert and I there now? Son?
Tell me what you think about separating yourself from $5 to learn that. Was it worth it?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I was fitting to get me some new teethers. But, you know, that's why they call it a toothbrush.
Why?
Because if they invented it up here, it'd be called a teeth brush.
I want to take a few more calls because there's such great ones coming in. We're just filling up all the lines. Let's talk to Scott. This is Scott. You're talking to Richard Dawkins, sir.
Hey, thanks, Penn. I really like podcasts. My favorite is Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott, and I like Punky. I like Punky with Pauly B and Tony.
Yeah, I think, Scott, you've already said a couple things that certainly I disagree with, and I'm willing to bet Richard does. Do you have a question you want to bring it around to, or do you want to just jump in now?
Richard, how do you convey a logical argument to illogical smack darts?
Okay, that's a point of view that I'm meeting increasingly in letters that I'm getting on this tour. Many, many people are saying, yes, yes, of course, you've got logic on your side, but what's the use of logic when you're dealing with illogical people? You have to appeal to their emotions. You have to say what will comfort them. Well, I can sort of see I can see what lies behind that. It's not my way, however. Maybe there are other people who can approach the problem in that way. But logic and reason and science are the only ways I know. That's what I do best. So I'm going to carry on doing that. Maybe other people can pursue the emotional tack.
I have one more question about the your book, The Selfish Gene. How did you go from a science text with atheism as a subtext to your new book as almost an atheist manifesto?
I think when I wrote The Selfish Gene 30 years ago, it wasn't really necessary because at that time it looked as though religion was just dying. And so I wrote a book about science, and science is my main love. And to me, it was sufficient in those days to explain about science, especially about evolutionary science, and the withering away of religion would just kind of follow on. That hasn't happened, especially in America. Religion has gone on to wither away in Europe and in Britain, but very much not so in America. So about 6 years ago, I proposed to my New York literary agent that I should write The God Delusion.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have one more question. Other than Tony Hearn's closeted homosexuality. What really pisses you off?
The thing that really pisses me off is that, I mean, I'm quite happy to respect anybody enough to argue with them. That's what respect means. You argue with them and you take seriously what they say and you tell them why you think it's wrong. What pisses me off is the attitude that religion has to have a kind of special wall of respect around it. You're not allowed to criticize it. They retreat behind a wall of faith and say, oh, you can't penetrate that wall. That's faith. You can criticize my politics. You can criticize my opinion of art or football or anything you like, but you're not allowed to criticize my religion. That's protected holy ground. That's what really pisses me off.
Now, do you think I had to hang up because he had this what I find a very smarmy and inexcusable attitude.
In this next clip, John and Scott discuss the top 10 things not to do when recording a podcast.
Well, John, I got the top 10 list of what podcasters should not do. Are you interested in that? Because we are podcasters, you and I.
Absolutely.
We are broad podcasters.
Broadcast podders.
Broadcast-pedidisters.
Yeah.
And we call it a P-cast, okay?
Why
it's a P-cast.
Why are you talking now? Why are you tongue-tied?
Number one. One should avoid pronouncing Urim or as much as possible. I believe that this is the most popular tip of them all.
Really?
A lot of people knew this, but just can't seem to avoid it.
I love saying Don't tell me what to fucking say. I'll say what I want.
We don't do a lot of that, I don't think. Do we?
Made fun of the whole like thing.
Like I can't stand people who say that. Like this.
You're
like
so
that.
Goddamn perfect.
Well, I don't hate say people fucking that say, like.
I hate people that say picture. I got a nice picture hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
A picture?
Yeah, it's a picture that I put.
How do you frame a goddamn glass container?
I tell you how. You put a big nail in, okay? And then you put the handle of the picture over the nail. There you have it, fuckface. Number two, when it comes to more than one person doing the podcast, like you and I, John, that's two of us, take turns to speak.
What do you mean?
Two.
What are you talking about? Why can't I talk when you're
stuck
talking?
This causes a tremendous amount of stress and headache on the listeners. Plus, we don't get what you're trying to say. This guy's a pussy who wrote this. Number three, if a person is on the line using Skype, which we don't use, but we're going to use something like that, please make sure that the sound quality of the caller is clear.
What's your fucking point?
Number four, quoting a person's line can be very helpful. If trying to report using another person's line, please, by all means, use the phrase, quote. And when finished,
Hold
it. When finished, say, close quote. No, we don't do that. You know why? Because we do fabulous impressions here.
Who the fuck came up with
total
that?
Total talk nonsense.
Here, I got an impression for you.
All right.
Why didn't I do this before?
I didn't even
read this. You didn't tell me to do it.
Read it!
Travolta and Preston suggest a silent burf.
What are you, African-American?
Yo, man, it's my birthday.
My burf. Don't
Travolta
fuck with my
and
birthday.
Preston suggest a silent burf to Katie.
What does that mean? A silent burf.
Scientology couple John Travolta and Kelly Preston are urging Katie Holmes to have a silent birth when she delivers fiancé Tom Cruise's baby next year and follow the church's strict doctrines.
See, this is what I'm talking about. What? Katie Holmes doesn't have any idea what she got herself into, and now it's all coming to her, and she'll be divorced within
she'll
a freaking year.
Out. Scientologists believe children should be brought into the world without any fuss and be allowed to quietly get used to their surroundings. That means no music, no chatting, and no expressions of pain from the mother. Preston explains, but actually I'm going to read it as Bobarino. I can't do it.
Hold it. You're supposed to say, when you start, you're supposed to say quote, and when you're done, you're supposed to say close quote, according to this.
Mr. Connor, this is Bobarino. Bobarino said that. I don't know
quote,
how to do it.
Quote.
It's been a long time. I can't do it.
Come on, man. You can do it.
Let me think. Okay. Yes, but I can't even think of how he does it.
Come on,
Mr.
man.
Ms. How's it go?
How the hell should I know?
Bob Barino.
Barino.
Quote, it's just because everything in the moments of pain is really
You suck, man.
I know. I have to listen to it. I can't get into character, man.
I think Phil had the same problem last podcast.
It's just because everything in moments of pain is really recorded as you want to have that, the birth, peaceful and clear of sort of suggestions or different words that can affect them babies in their future.
Right.
Barino.
Any unsolicited body thetans to enter the womb is Kate Holmes.
But
Kate,
you know,
Kate
Tony
Cruz
Danza
is giving the birth.
He slams Cruz. Tony Danza.
You got a good Tony Danza impression?
No.
Okay.
Former Taxi star Tony Danza is far from impressed with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes's baby news.
As because John and Scott are.
Yeah, because
impressed.
they're having a child out of wedlock. The Hollywood.
What if they get married before the kid's born?
I don't know. The Hollywood couple who became engaged in June after 2 months of dating announced they're expecting their first child together on Wednesday. They're expecting it to be born on Wednesday. Danza is bemused by Cruz's behavior and believes his recent attack on Brooke Shields' decision to take medication for her postpartum depression was hypocritical, considering the Mission Impossible star is now living his own life with questionable morality. The talk show host says, I'm a little, upset about this. Here's a guy out there lecturing people about drugs, but out of wedlock births don't seem to bother him. He's never appearing on my show, so it doesn't matter, he adds.
Close quote.
Quote, I'm happy for them, but we're going to send them to Maury Povich's show for a DNA test.
Close quote. All right, yeah.
You know,
Tom
I used
Cruise
to be able to do good
up,
voices.
Man.
I can't do voices.
You can.
Anymore.
Just tell yourself you can. PMA, can. Man. I positive can. Mental attitude. All right, getting back to the top 10. We went through number one. Don't pronounce umans and ers. When it comes to more one person, take turns to speak. Number three, if you're using Skype, make sure the line and sound quality of the caller is clear. Number four, quoting a person's line, you got to say quote and close quote when you're done.
Fuck that.
Number five, imitating to be someone he or she isn't is just plain unprofessional, John. There is this podcast that I listen to, and the listeners were told that there's going to be a special guest calling in.
Oh.
When the guest speaks, we could just tell that it wasn't the real guest. That was stupid. And totally turned
so
me off.
So kind of like what Man Cow does.
Well, I would think it was something that we would do.
Oh.
But no, Man Queer is famous for that. Number six, the sound quality of the podcast determines if you are going to be many listeners or none. For example, do not speak too loudly or too high into the microphone. Which
what? What are you talking about? You mean you can't do it like this?
None of the podcasts that I've listened to so far have had this problem. There's a feature called Normalize in most audio editors, which is very helpful for this. Number seven, an enthusiastic voice helps to get the listeners excited, especially during the introduction. I think that it's important because listeners and podcasts
You're
can almost
gay.
Resemble as to reading an essay. If you don't get a good introduction, you probably want to switch to the other podcast. Same story goes with the closing to give little listeners a good impression, John. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
Number eight. It's okay to make jokes, just don't overdo it by adding some sound or music trying to imitate the impression of someone other that you're making fun
of. So this guy farted, and it was really
on
funny.
On the show for the minute, of
and
course.
Then,
one has to decide between the good and the bad jokes, John.
Oh, my God.
Number nine, too much obscenity just fucking ticks me fucking off.
The whole goddamn fucking point of doing the fucking podcast is to fucking provide goddamn fucking information to listeners and let them fucking know your thoughts, with the constant fuck word being used all the time. It makes me fucking feel that the host seem fucking wanted to dominate the fucking whole goddamn fucking story, with fucking desperate to get their fucking points across to the fucking goddamn fuck listeners. All right. Number 10.
What are you saying?
Podcast should keep the length to less than 1 hour, John, unless it is such an interesting podcast that involves five or more people on the show. All right. So if you have five or 50 people on the show, make it more than an hour so we can hear all that.
That's great.
Babbling, rambling,
that's
bullshit.
Genius. I just got to say one thing.
Having two persons...
We're on a mission, guy.
That was George W. Having two persons doing a podcast for 1 hour can really get boring, John. And it gives me the temptation to switch to a different podcast where I can listen to some faggots boofing each other after 30 minutes. All right, so then... I don't know where I got this, but somebody responded. And they added their points as well.
They did.
Yes. They said, take turns to speak sounds uninspired.
Yeah,
so
right.
They're criticizing.
Yeah, no.
A more
doubt.
Interesting approach, but keeping in the spirit of the tip, is for the second speaker to continue speaking or overtalk.
I'd like to give this guy a couple of these.
The other person's speech, a sentence breaks. Or prior to the last word of the two sentences. This takes really good listening skills to start judging when a sentence will be ending.
Huh?
It's doable.
What are you talking?
English or any language has predictable structure.
And
it keeps the listener engaged and interested.
Nurse, Mr. Stewart has apparently pooped his pants.
Now, this person also contradicts the quote. Remember I said, quote, close quote.
Yeah.
Quoting a person's line can be done with a quarter-second pause in speech, a change in the timbre and voice, or several other ways. I wonder what other ways.
Is it a podcast or a douche cast?
I think it's a douche cast. But then, okay, now we're out of the criticisms. We're just at people's responding to this blog or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Here's one from Advent. Dignation. No, it's from Ryan. I'm sorry. Dignation should really pay attention to number 2 and 8, which who the hell knows what number 2 and 8. It's gotten to the point I can hardly listen anymore. Kevin Rose I like, but the other guy is so annoying it's unbelievable. He butts in constantly and they last so much it's hard to pick out any news whatsoever. And that's the same goddamn criticism I have.
That's right.
Ryan. Oh, that's awesome. That's fucking awesome. Hey, stop laughing. I want to talk now. Because I'm Alex Albrecht, and I'm a fag. But I pretend that I have a girlfriend.
What? What are you talking about?
Here's one, and this we broke this one last podcast. If you do get interrupted, for example, by a cell phone call,
yep.
Pause the recording. There is no need to record everything that happens during your recording unless it's irrelevant to the podcast, which it usually isn't, you cocksucker fuckwad.
Hey, I got a lot of feedback that it was pretty funny.
I thought it was funny, too. Now, these are just a blog I'm reading. This is not my personal opinion.
I'm just saying. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm sorry. Oh, here's number 13. Don't apologize constantly about the lack of length, frequency of updates, technical problems, inform the listener.
13? Wait a minute. You said top 10.
Don't supplicate to them.
Supplicate?
Well, this guy's appending the top 10. Here's one for you, John. Don't use the machine you are recording on as your web browser. Information repository outliner. Much fewer technical problems. You machine is devoted to a little as possible except recording.
What was fuff?
I don't know. It's fuff. Number 15. A corollary to 14. Prepare your subject matter. It wouldn't kill nearly all of the podcasters I listen to print off web pages, articles, and emails, run through them with a highlighter before they start. Why do I have to sit listening to some dude umming and erring while they surf to a page and scan through it?
That's me.
All right, so there's some podcasting things to do if you're a new to podcasting. Well, John and I are not. We are professionals.
Yeah, that's right. And we break every single goddamn
every
rule.
Every one of them.
Also, we are doing, after the first track this week, you've got three great tracks this week.
Okay.
Three that you've probably never heard before.
Probably not.
But they all feature the word fuck pretty heavily. Right?
Cool.
And I actually haven't got them in ascending order of fuck. I've got quite a lot of fuck, then just a bit of fuck, and then an overload of fuck.
In this next clip, John and Scott discuss Magnum P.I., and Egypt scholars discuss sexual practices.
I have no idea why we call it the heavy metal episode.
Me neither.
Is it because we play heavy metal?
Possibly.
I love this shit, man. Especially driving to work. I gotta be angry to drive for 40 minutes.
I love it when we're fucking, man.
When you and I are fucking.
No, man, I met my wife. Oh, before we get into the
I knew how to quit you.
Egypt religious question,
yeah.
Should you keep your clothes on when having sex?
I like it when we're fucking, man.
I just read this today. They're considering George Clooney for the Magnum P.I. movie.
What?
They're going to make a movie,
no.
Magnum P.I.,
holy,
and they're considering George Clooney for that role.
How many times do we talk about this? Why they keep rehashing?
Because there's not an original
TV
fucking thought
in
Hollywood.
No, I think there is original thoughts, but they think, you know what? We know what's already successful.
Well, there's
so if we make it into a movie or remake the original, it's bound to make money. Original thoughts is like betting on a horse.
Well, and it's you got an audience already there. There's already an audience. Like Syriana. There's not an audience. You got to generate that audience through marketing.
Right.
With Magnum P.I., you don't have to spend a dime on marketing. And
right.
The audience is already there. People will go to the movies to see it.
Unbelievable.
Because of Tom Selleck. John, this question is being asked in Egypt. Should you keep your clothes on when having sex?
What?
It began when Dr. Rashed Khalil, an expert on Islamic law, warned that being completely naked during intercourse invalidates a marriage, John. His ruling was promptly dismissed by other scholars, including one who argued that anything that can bring spouses closer together should be permitted. Unlike Christianity, John, which tends to be squeamish about sex, Islam has a long tradition of talking about it openly. Another religious scholar suggested it was okay for married couples to see each other naked as long as they don't look at their genitals. To avoid problems in that area, he recommended having sex under a blanket. Delivering a fatwa on oral sex, 79-year-old Dr. Karawadi describes it as a disgusting Western practice, resulting from Westerners' habit of stripping naked during sexual intercourse. But, he continues, Muslim jurists are of the opinion it is lawful for a husband to perform cunnilingus on his wife, or a wife to give her husband a blowjob. And there is no wrong in doing so. But if so, it's like if the Pope was from the Middle East.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Hungarian Arabian.
But if sucking leads to releasing semen, then it is blameworthy. I can't believe they fucking even talk about this. What? Who cares? My gosh. My Allah. Yeah. We should send these guys Spike and Rachel's episode, threesome episode.
Right.
Right.
So you can suck as long as it doesn't produce semen.
Right. On the issue, Dr. Kohradawi's views are more permissive than those of several other clerics on the intranets, John. One states that oral sex is definitely forbidden, adding that... Can you give me some Emil Abadasis?
Emil Abadasis?
Yes, just a little bit.
About to change to the... You have to get to the...
All right, then. So, in one state, the oral sex is definitely forbidden, adding that this idiot's practice will draw an anger of Allah.
That's it. You gotta get the bottom down.
Another asked if oral sex is permitted, replies, I don't know what oral sex is. Please define it for me. And, John, here's some bad news for us. Well, if we're Islamic, masturbation is generally frowned upon.
Oh, damn.
Though they disagree about how sinful it is, the Inter-Islam website describes it as an innocent practice that has crept into the youngsters of today. Oh, like they weren't doing it. Masturbation has become prevalent, the website says, because of the modern tendency for young people to marry later. This is contrary to the advice of the Prophet, John. As a result, they feel the need to fulfill their carnal desires, but cannot do so in a normal way via PVI, John. That would be penile vaginal intercourse. Islamic Voice describes masturbation as an abominable and wicked act, which is forbidden in Islam. Its harms are great, and it has disastrous consequences, as is established by doctors.
I got it. PVI.
PVI, penile vaginal.
Penile via anal insertion.
It's not PVAI. Pavai. According to Bin Baz, masturbation caused disruption of the digestive system. Did you know that, John?
No, I didn't die down.
Inflammation of the testicles. Damage to the spine, the place where the sperm originates. And trembling and instability in some parts of the body, like the feet. Wow. I've never had any of those symptoms, John. There's also a weakening of the cerebral glands.
Nice.
Leading to decreased intellect. Oh, okay. I can see where they're going now.
Fuck you.
And even mental disorders and insanity.
Fucking dildo.
Get this, John. Due to constant ejaculation, the sperm no more remains thick and dense. It is normally occurs in males. This results in sperm, which is not mighty enough to make a woman pregnant or produce children, and are more prone to disease and illness. So what they're saying here is you're squirting all your good genetic sperm on the wall, and what's left... either can't get the woman pregnant, or if it does get the woman pregnant, she's going to have like Tony Papucci or something.
Right, right.
Right. Other scholars argue that masturbation is basically forbidden, but may be permitted if the person is unmarried or masturbates in order to avoid a more serious sin, such as adultery.
Shut up, you stink.
So all you got to do is say, hey, I was jerking off because I was going to go rape somebody. And
why you kick my dog?
And they'll say, oh, it's okay then. That's fine.
You kick my dog today. Why you kick my dog?
John,
kick my dog today.
One last topic that they cover.
She's lying to you, fucking guy.
Anal sex. There's much disagreement between the Egyptian community about anal sex. Grand Ayatollah Ali Sastini, the highest-ranking Shia cleric in Iraq, says it is strongly undesirable. But permissible if the wife agrees, John. This seems to be quite a common view, though many Sunni clerics maintain that that the consent is irrelevant. Anal sex is a grave sin and is completely forbidden, John. Regardless of whether the wife agrees to it or not, one says.
Just shut up. Shut up.
The most common religious objection to anal sex is that it frustrates the main purpose of marriage, to produce children, not get fecal matter on the penile ejaculate. And the same objection is applies to masturbation. Islam strictly forbids the waste of seminal fluid.
Don't lie, you fucking guy.
I guess you and I couldn't get into Islam, John.
Your daughter kicked my dog.
Probably not.
What is it about him that brings up such vitriol?
The empty life of this ugly little charlatan proves only one thing, that you can get away with the most extraordinary offenses to morality and to truth in this country if you'll just get yourself called reverend. Who would, even at your network, have invited on such a little toad to tell us that the attacks of September the 11th were the result of our sinfulness and were God's punishment if they hadn't got some kind of clerical qualification? People like that should be out in the street shouting and hollering with a cardboard sign and selling pencils from a cup. The whole consideration of this horrible little person is offensive to very, very many of us who have some regard for truth and for morality, and who think that ethics do not require that lies be told to children by evil old men, that we're not told that people who believe like Falwell will be snatched up into heaven. Where I'm glad to see he skipped the rapture, just found on the floor of his office, while the rest of us go to hell. How dare they talk to children like this? How dare they raise money from credulous people on their huckster-like Elmer Gantry radio stations and fly around in private jets as he did, giggling and sniggering all the time at what he was getting away with.
Saving the best for last. In this next clip, John asked me to translate Ebonics. And I finish with the news.
Do you know about Ebonics?
Do I know about it?
You ever done any
Ebonics? Well, I've heard it. Heard about it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. What? Ebonics?
Yeah.
Ebonics?
Ebonics.
Is that like when the whites try to translate the blacks' slang? Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Don't ask me about that. Why?
Well, I'm just wondering if you can translate some rap lyrics for me.
No way. I don't even listen to rap. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe Phil can.
I don't know. What, should we ask him?
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, man, pay attention. Look this way.
Hey, over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. yes, I'm ready. Are you ready for the news?
No, I'm wondering if you can translate rap music.
Rap music?
For, Ebonics into English.
Well, John and Scott, I have studied and learned 7 different languages, but I'm still getting acquainted with Ebonics. I would give it a shot if you would like.
Yeah.
No, I can't promise how I'm going to do, John and Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Let me throw some lyrics at you, all right?
Give it a shot.
All right. Let me throw some lyrics. All right, here we go. First things first, I pop a freaks all honeys. Dummies, Playboy bunnies, those wantin' money. Shut up, this is Notorious B.I.G. singing this shit. Alright, here we go. Alright, here we go. Those the ones I like, cause they don't get Nathan. But penetration, unless it smells like sanitation. Garbage, I turn like doorknobs. Hot throb, never black and ugly as ever. However, I stay coochied down to the socks. Rings and watch filled with rocks.
Oh, all right, then. Let me see. I jotted some notes down
while you were
singing.
Hold on a second. Let me do something.
I jotted some notes down while you were singing, and I think here's what I've come up with, John.
Yo, what you got?
Here's the translation. As a general rule, I perform deviant sexual acts with women of all kinds, including, but not limited to, those with limited intellect, nude magazine models, and prostitutes. I particularly enjoy sexual encounters with the latter group, as they are generally disappointed in the fact that they only receive penile intercourse and nothing more. Unless, of course, they douche on a consistent basis. Although I am extremely unattractive, I am able to engage in these types of sexual activities with some regularity. Perhaps my sexuality is somehow related to my fancy and expensive jewelry.
Wow.
How's that?
Man, you nailed it right on the head.
Well, I'm just, like I said, I'm learning this, but I've already learned 5 languages, so they say that you learn one language, you learn them all. You know what I'm saying? It becomes much easier. I wouldn't call myself a master at U-Bomb.
Let me throw you another one at you.
Another one?
Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Am I jam knocking the Mitsubishi? Girls PP when they see me. Navajos creep me in. They PTP as I lay down. Laws like I lay carpet. Stop it if you think you're gonna make a profit. Oh, yeah, no. All right. How about that?
Oh.
That was sweet, wasn't it?
Are you finished?
Hold on a second.
Well, I started taking notes, John Scott, but I think I could just go ahead and translate that for you.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing my music loudly on my car stereo. Apparently, women enjoy this also because they become sexually aroused when they see me driving. Oddly enough, when I visit the Native American reservations, some of the more sexually promiscuous Indian women attempted to seduce me in their homes. Their intent is to divest me of my earnings. Such actions... I just said such, but I meant such actions are unacceptable. And there you have it. Was that good enough, John and Scott?
That was fucking fantastic. You should have heard Scott say seniors earlier.
What did I say? All right, seniors.
Seniors.
Well, that was at the beginning of this part, wasn't it?
Seniorators or something.
Seniorators.
All right, I got another one.
All right. Well, hold it. Let's ask Phil.
Oh, Phil, right? do one more.
Of course, bring it on, John. Right. I can take whatever you can.
All right, here we go.
Hammer with.
All right, here we go. Bringing it down. Don't see my ones, don't see my guns, get it. Now tell your friends, Papa hit it, then split it. In two as I flow with the Junior Mafia. I don't know what the hell's stopping ya. I'ma clock ya. But Shay's watching ya. What's your grid? I'm in game. Begin again.
All right, Phil.
You hear, man? I fucking nailed it, man.
Before you start.
That was the best one, wasn't it? I nailed that fucking rap. I'm all over that shit.
We'll talk later.
Oh, come on, man. God damn it. I'm a fucking reller.
Here's the
pepper.
Translation.
Papa pepper.
Understand this fact. You can have neither me or my money or my weapons. I suggest that you inform your peers that we engage in violent sexual acts. Currently, I am rapping with my associates, the Junior Mafia. I'm having some difficulty understanding why you refuse to approach me. I am attempting to make eye contact with you, and although my expensive glasses, they are expensive, as soon as you respond with a smile, I will approach you, you whore bitch, you biatch. Whenever you're ready, John, I'm quite enjoying this. It really tests my skills as a Ebonics translator.
All right. We got to take this one down low, all right? Here we go. Let's go back down to this one. Take it low. Bye. She's sick of that song on how it's so long. Fuck you. Wait, let me start over. I got it. Here we go. One, two. Hold on. I'm professional. I got this down. I nailed the last one, right? Two, three. She's sick of that song on how it's so long. Thought he worked is until I handled my business. There is major pain like Damon Wayans. Low down dirty, even like his brother Keenan. Scheming, don't bring your girl round me. True player for real ass Puff Daddy. How about that, man? That was fucking awesome.
That was fantastic.
Man, I could no way could I do it better than that. That was like the fucking top of my game on that one.
Well, John, because your rhythm and your rapping is so excellent, it makes my translation.
Were you feeling me?
Oh,
did
I felt it, yes, and it makes the translation much easier for
me. Was feeling that shit. Yeah, motherfucking no.
I would have to ask your parental lineage.
Hold on one second, man.
Cool.
All right.
Well, Phil, you ready to
I see it. You finished taking your notes there.
Yes, I'm ready, whatever you are. Would you like the translation?
Yes, please. Please do. Let's have it. What do you have?
Your current love interest no longer wishes to hear your fabrications about the length of your member. Or other words, cock. After I had sexual intercourse with your woman, she became enlightened as to the proper way it is supposed to be performed, violently and immorally. It would be in your best interest to keep your woman away from me, as my sexual prowess is very strong. If you are unconvinced, ask Puff Daddy.
Nice. Very good. That is fan-fucking-tastic. Excellent job, Phil. Well, let's get to your news, shall we?
Definitely time for Phil's news. You ready for that, Phil?
Well, of course I am. Well, I'm always ready for the news.
Well, it's a TTN exclusive, special exclusive here with Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Top story tonight. Cops put chokehold on man that stuffed a roasted chicken down his pants in our supermarket.
What?
A 37-year-old Saratoga Springs man is accused of putting a roasted chicken in his pants as a means to steal it on Tuesday evening at the Price Chopper on Railroad Place.
John, so that's one way to stuff a cock in your pants.
No doubt. John Moronhan of 6B Make Your Own Way was charged with petty larceny. Mr. Reader.
You bitch! You all right, Phil?
That's very funny, John.
Come on, Phil. Wrap it up.
Well, thank you, Scott. I try. I think I have a contact high. Does anybody have some barbecue chips? All right, then. Next story. Or did I even finish the last one? I don't think I did.
Holy shit.
Saratoga Springs Police Sergeant Michael Chomsky said that when the store manager approached Moranahan about the chicken, Moranahan bit the manager on the forearm.
Quit trying to grab my cock. Man tries to smother cock out of the store.
Next story. South Carolina Republican calls for Gitmo Bay deportation of TV execs who moved South Carolina versus Clemson football game to pay-per-view.
Did you say Dickmo?
Yes, the dick mode. For the first time in almost two decades, the showdown between South Carolina and Clemson football won't be broadcast on national or regional television. And one state lawmaker has suggested that those responsible get deported. I'm in total disbelief. I think this might be illegal, said State Senator Representative John Graham. We need to deport the people who made this decision to get my bay. I may very well introduce a bill just to do that.
Wait, I'm getting a hard time understanding what the fuck.
A reflection of how seriously people in the state have taken the Carolina-Clemson game. Next story. Courts determined man was not being lewd, just vigorously scratching his jock itch. An appeals court has overturned the lewdness conviction of a man arrested in a Woodbridge drugstore for vigorously scratching his groin area through his pants pocket. Matthew Pinto claimed he had jock itch.
God.
His wife corroborated the claim.
A fucking crap.
Two girls had their backs to Pinto when employees saw him moving his hand up and down in 2003. The appeal court says that merely touching or rubbing near the clothed intimate body part is not flagrant, lewd, meaning lustful, indecent, obscene, or wicked, as long as you don't use the word cock. Despite lying to Congress, Rafael Palmero will not be charged with lying to Congress. Next story. Pizza now declared a health food. Bachelors everywhere can now claim they eat well.
How about M&M's?
The FDA said this week that eating tomatoes and tomato sauce may reduce the risk of prostate cancer. And food companies can make their claim and add on the product label if they wish.
Was that a Chinese guy that...
According to the FDA, the cancer protein bottom line is maybe for tomatoes and tomato sauce, with prostate cancer and probably not for pancreatic, ovarian, or gastric cancer.
It will reduce the risk of cancer.
That said, the FDA this week said the food companies can claim cancer-fighting benefits for tomatoes and tomato sauce in ads and on labels. Next story, John. Man appears in court in his underpants. Judge ensures that his visit is brief. Larry E. Kelly Jr. appeared before Pittsburgh judge wearing only dark blue boxers and White Sox Monday morning to tell him he didn't want to appear at trial. This may be the last, this may be at least a county record for speed of a trial. Let me say that again. This may be at least a county record for speed of a trial. George Steve P. Liskinen told the Tribune Review. Jurors had never saw Kelly 36 in the courtroom, and it took only 5 minutes to convict him for the theft of $38,000.
What was his last name? Kenanen.
Kenanen. The underpants-clad defendant was only one of two that protested the Monday court appearance. Philadelphia resident Robert Bailey smudged feces all over himself in an effort to keep Fayette County prison officials from laying a hand on him. After cleaning up, Bailey pleaded guilty to charges relating to the May 17 incident in which cops found him asleep in a stolen 1990 Corvette with feces all over him.
Oh, that's a real shitty situation.
No doubt. Next story. What not to tell the arresting DUI officer, John?
What?
Quote, I only had one beer after he arrested me the first time. A 37-year-old Edgerton woman was arrested twice for about 2 hours on a drunk driving charges in Middleton. Laura M. Broughton of 15 Road 2, Edgerton was arrested at 11:30 p.m. Thursday on East Madison Avenue. She was arrested again at 1:43 a.m. Friday on North Clear Lake Avenue of the Rydell Drive, according to the Middleton Police reports. After the second arrest, Broughton told police, I only had one beer after you arrested me the first time. Next story. Colorado State Trooper propositions a woman after pulling her over. A state patrol sergeant was demoted to corporal for propositioning a woman in a car he had pulled over. Trooper John Oralt will lose $580 per month in pay. The incident occurred during a country music festival near Grand Junction last summer. The woman, Liette Owens of Las Vegas, said she is considering a lawsuit. And the last story tonight, John.
Last story.
Man applying for a job at police department arrested for arson during his interview. That couldn't hurt his chances, could it, John? Dallas County Sheriff's deputies arrested a suspected arsonist Friday during a job interview for the position with the department. Dallas resident Ernesta Garcia Guzman submitted her application. Wait a minute. Submitted her. They say a man. And then they change the story to her. I'm sorry about this, John and Scott. I usually pre-read this stuff, but they said it was a man at the beginning, and now they're saying it's her. And I no doubt it's
Wait
from Reuters.
Reuters. Reuters. Where were you?
The right there. Dallas resident Ernesta Guzman, 30. That was Scott. I'll take it from here. All right. Thank you for trying to cover for me. But I think I can handle it. Back off, man.
You fucking bitch.
She submitted her application and supporting documents for a courtesy patrol position. When deputies checked her name in the FBI database, John, they discovered a warrant for her arrest in New Mexico on a charge of conspiracy to commit arson. A conspiracy to commit arson, as well as four warrants for $1,600 worth of unpaid traffic citations from the Mesquite Police Department. When confronted, Guzman denied knowledge of the incident in New Mexico, and she's not eligible for employment, the deputy said.
No.
And that's the news.
All right.
All right, that was Will McCracken Whitcomb with the news here on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And thanks again, Phil, for stopping by.
No doubt. The Ebonics, the news, always a professional.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was quality. I think I nailed it with the raps, man.
Oh, no doubt.
John. Fuck that. Fuck the rock band.
I'm telling you, that's what helped the most. Was nailed it. And it helped my translation quite a bit.
I am a fucking rapper.
All right, then I have to get back. I have to get back to my apartment because I left my girlfriend there. So I'm gonna go. If that's all right with you guys.
Yep.
All right, then.
Take care. Later, man.
I'm going to leave now.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to walk away. I'm walking away now. I'm going to go to the door. Here, I made it to the door. Let me open the door. All right, come on, then.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, man.
Man.
Out of sight.
All right.
He's on cue, baby. On
he's
cue.
With it. He's professional. Phil McCracken.
No doubt.
So, all right, again, we've made it through another one.
Thanks for listening. I'm Phil McCracken Whitcomb with Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
Whatever.
Some of the other members of the crew are here as well. Where are they, Robbie? Where are the members of your crew? Well, they must have couldn't pass the security check.
Whatever.
Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb up buildings.
Whatever.
We're conscious folks flying, you know, getting lists of people flying into our country and match them now with a much improved database.
Whatever.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever. Because this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever.
You said we're headed to war in Iraq. I don't know why you say that. I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. I'm the person who gets to decide, not you.
Whatever.
See, without the tax relief package, there would have been a deficit, but there wouldn't have been the kick to our economy.
Whatever.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Whatever.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot.
Whatever.
The goals for this country are peace in the world, and the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Yeah, whatever. Because this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever.
You're free. And freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order. But we will.
Whatever.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
Whatever.
It's in the interest of long-term peace in the world that we work for a free and secure and peaceful Iraq. A free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Whatever.
I don't think we need to be subliminal about the differences between our views on prescription drugs.
Whatever.
Second question. Can you promise a year from now that you will have reduced the number of troops in Iraq?
The second question is a trick question.
Yeah, whatever. Because this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century?
Tribal sovereignty means that it's sovereign. I mean, you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
I'm like, that's cool.
Cause this is my United.